This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
You got the MJ Morning Show, and this is Q105. Welcome, everybody.
Hey, has anybody heard from Roxanne since the cryptic message we got last night?
Oh, yeah, we got a cryptic message.
I tried reaching out to her, and she didn't reply back to me.
Roxanne, not here just yet. She did phone me while I was in the car on the way in, saying she was going to be a little late. We have what appears to be a mystery incident. A Roxanne mystery incident.
She sends a text last night.
Yeah, I got the text right here. Do you have the text brought up, or do I need to bring it up?
You need to bring it up. I left the stupid phone in the office, but it was a scary text to get, and then my first initial reaction to the text, I think, was completely wrong. And then I asked a couple of questions, and I didn't see her reply back. And I tried calling her later. It went to voicemail.
Yeah, hang on. Let me find the...
It was about like 7 o'clock last night,
yeah,
she sent it.
Yeah, I gotta find the...
How many texts do you get?
I got a lot of flipping texts every day. It's out of control. I gotta find the group text. Where the hell is it?
About 7 o'clock, 7:30 last night.
I know. I'm trying to find it. Hang on a minute. What the heck? Where is it?
Oh, my God. I could have walked to the office and got the phone and come back.
God, this music.
You want me to shut it off?
Please.
Sorry.
It's really dramatic.
Yeah, it's the Roxanne mystery incident music. I have no idea. Where the heck's my... here, I got it. Yeah, it's in my group text. So this came in from Roxanne. And this is what I'm calling the Roxanne mystery incident. Kidding. All right. I'll shut it off.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. I'm in a fire truck right now. My family is fine. I'm with a friend. I'm in the front seat of the fire truck, and we just pulled up to St. Joe's. Not sure what part I want to talk about tomorrow, but I'll have some, and then it ends. Almost like... her phone was grabbed and thrown out the window of the vehicle.
Like the fireman just swatted it out.
Like, why not tell us what's going on?
Well, I guess we'll wait for Roxanne. She said she'd be a few minutes late. Right now, this qualifies as a few minutes late. Because we're coming up on 3 minutes into the program. So as soon as Roxanne gets here, I guess we'll hear about the Roxanne mystery incident or whatever she wants to talk about.
I mean, is she okay? She said my family's fine. Is the car fine?
We don't know.
She said she was with a friend, so that's part of what I gleaned from the Roxanne cryptic mystery text.
I mean, was she like just hanging out with her friend and see what it's like to be in a fire truck?
I said mystery text.
I don't know that she could have given us less details about something important.
Hi, guys. I'm in a fire truck right now.
Nothing but questions.
My family is fine.
Yeah. More questions.
I'm with a friend. I'm in the front seat of the fire truck, and we just pulled up at St. Joe's.
Why would she tell me where in the fire truck she is and not tell me exactly what happened?
All right, we'll find out in just a bit. Guys, I'm in a fire truck right now. It's like John Candy and the Blues Brothers. You know, hey, I'm in a truck. Remember when they flew up the berm and they landed in the back of that tractor trailer while they were chasing... the Blues Brothers?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Never seen it.
You've never seen the Blues Brothers?
No, I haven't. I just told you I haven't.
Yes, you have.
Some of it when they're at the restaurant.
Come on. You've seen the Blues Brothers.
It doesn't quite hold up.
What are you talking about?
Illinois Nazis?
Come on, we've got Maryland Nazis now. Did you see that you had those crazies up in Maryland? And they wanted to destroy the whole city by shooting out all the power stations and, and causing like the whole city to collapse or something.
I hate Maryland Nazis.
Exactly. I hate Maryland Nazis.
First of all, this music is much better Roxanne Mystery music.
No, it's not. This is not... Roxanne, miss. Oh, here comes Roxanne. Jake and Elwood Blues, the Blues Brothers.
Hey, 2000.
I was a little early on that. Here comes Roxanne.
Look at John Candy go.
John Candy?
Oh, he wasn't in it?
No, John Candy was in the back of a truck. After their 1974 Dodge Monaco went up on a berm.
I mean, John Goodman, look at him go. Oh, wait, that was Blues Brothers 2000.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the worst thing ever. Blues Brothers 2000 what a disappointment.
I remember you being excited.
I wanted to shoot myself after Blues Brothers 2000. Roxanne has just joined us. Hey, Rox.
Hey there. Yeah, I pulled up and then I started hearing you talk about my mystery. And it was very compelling. I couldn't get out of the car.
Yeah, the Roxanne mystery. Oh, so you would have been here earlier, other than me talking about the Roxanne mystery incident?
Yeah, it's quite entertaining.
Listen, you sent us a very... Welcome, by the way. Roxanne is in the building. And you sent us a cryptic text here.
Yes, I did. You know what else is funny? I have to tell you guys that when I was talking to MJ this morning, I said, I'll just sneak in. I'll be unobtrusive. You won't even know that I'm late. But I guess we do.
Yeah, you got a whole intro. Tell you what, I don't want to run too late here.
Right.
We'll take our first break.
Okay.
When we get back, let's find out what we can about the Roxanne mystery incident and the cryptic mystery text next. On the MJ Morning Show on Q105, MJ and the crew back in a second.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105, 618. Oh, my God, I just noticed something. Where's the doll? Professor, did you take the doll?
I have the doll.
I thought the doll was maybe kidnapped. The scary hair falling out doll, Patty Playtime, or whatever the hell, Patty Playpal, this creepy doll that we have, we had it in the studio. And this is the doll that we want to hook up with Shorty Shane for him to do some, you know, crazy videos. But guess what? Now there's a controversy with that. We got a whole Shorty Shane, Patty Playtime. And folks, if you've not seen the whole Patty Playtime thing, if you've not seen the hair fall out of this doll, this is like a 3-foot-tall doll. And we thought it'd be hysterical to send Shorty Shane, who's 3'5", you know, it's kind of like, Dave the Dwarf 2.0. But, we got to call Dave, see what he's doing. But the doll is a creepy doll. Its eyes like open and close, and it's like 3 feet tall. And Rachel, the Flying Tomato, from our digital department, she just left here. And she went to our company's radio cluster up in Philadelphia. And she's cleaning out her crap, and she finds this creepy doll in a big box. And I think it belonged to her mom. And she's like, I don't know what to do with this. And she thought it was worth a lot of money. If you have the original from the 1950s or 60s, that's worth a lot of money. This was some kind of a, you know, Danbury Mint early 90s, like ripoff, reboot or whatever. So the thing's not worth anything.
No.
And we unbox it last week, right? And we touch the hair and the hair starts falling out in our hands like clumps. Or in clumps, rather. And then we had this powder and dust all over the studio. If you did not see this video, folks, I'm telling you right now, if you've not seen this video, go to my Instagram. Go to Certified MJ Radio, Certified MJ Radio, and you want to look for the video of It looks like it is 3, 6, 9. It's like 12 down. And you'll see, actually, you'll see Shorty Shane standing next to the doll, which is hysterical because the doll's all bald now. Bald, Jerry! Bald!
It's a bald doll.
It's a bald doll!
She's a little
bald!
So, yesterday.
And then right next to the Shorty Shane and the doll picture is the picture of, you'll see the image of the floor and all this like rust-colored powder all over the floor. That's the dust that the hair, it like turned into like, what do you say in the movie? Like in The Mummy, like when something like suddenly goes poof, and it turns into dust.
Yeah, like you open an old sarcophagus.
That's what this thing looks like. It's crazy. If you haven't seen the video, it's on my Instagram, Certified MJ Radio. You got to take a look at it. Then we want to hook Shorty Shane up with the doll, have him go out and around with the doll, create little incidents in stores or on the street. Well, guess what? Now there's a whole side story to that. And, well, Shorty Shane was hit with a bunch of like social media messages. And now he's all spooked by the doll. And he's, well, hold on, he's spooked by the whole incident. And it might not even remotely be what you're thinking about. Because I didn't think of this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you, really? All right, we'll get into that later on. I got to try to call Shorty Shane maybe next hour or in the 8 o'clock hour.
Okay, well, I will tell you, yeah. Patty made me sick last week. I thought I actually got like a cold or something, but it was just Patty because I was fine as soon as I was out of the studio on Friday.
Must have been, because listen, the whole studio was like dust filled. It was like you went up in some attic that hadn't been disturbed in, you know, 97 years. All right, Roxanne and the mystery incident. Mystery incident. All right, so we get this cryptic text from you. We were all wondering what the hell's going on. You send us a text that was as follows. Hi, guys. I'm in a fire truck right now. My family's fine. I'm with a friend. I'm in the front seat of the fire truck, and we just pulled up at St. Joe's. Not sure what part I want to talk about tomorrow, but I'll have some. And then it just ends. I mean, then Fester's writing back, are you in an accident? Anyone hurt? And you don't respond. So we're like, and then I called you and it went right to voicemail. I'm like, What is going on here? All right, can you please explain to us this text and the Roxanne mystery incident from last night?
Well, first of all, that text was a fancy way of saying I'm not going to be sending any show prep and I might be late tomorrow. That's what that text was. It was all true. I was in a fire truck.
Oh, I'm supposed to read through the lines and all that? Is that what I'm supposed to? All right, so what happened?
So I was with my a friend, one of my best friends. And listen, if you guys want to have fun with the name, fine, but it's Kettle. But if
it is not Kettle.
It is Kettle. Right, but listen.
It's like a carol with a foreign accent.
Yes, if you Americanos have to have it your way, I'll say carol. It's not. But it's Kettle.
No, it's not.
It's not like.
And I'm Janice. Oh, okay. And I'm Janice.
Both of you, don't lose the forest for the trees.
It's who cares Denise. Her friend's name is Denise.
And I'm Denise. And I'm Denise.
Okay. What is that saying? Don't lose the forest? What?
Don't miss the forest for the trees. Who cares about the name? What happened?
What occurred? Tell us now.
Yes, my friend Carol has been sick for, it seems like a month or so. And so her mom's been taking care of her and we've been talking. And so then I was like, let me just see if we maybe need to go to the hospital, get some fluids or what's going on. So I went over there and I was like, yeah, let's get 911 here. Make sure everything's okay. Better safe than sorry. And so,
hold on, it was that bad? You had to call 911?
Yes. And so I'm not recreating this. No, I'm not doing this to Carol.
911, what's your emergency? Hi, this is Roxanne. You might have heard of me. I'm from the MJ Morning Show.
Kettle?
Go ahead.
Yes, okay. So, and you want me to say, I got...
What happened?
They came out.
You called 911.
You're messing me up with these impromptu 911 calls.
You call 911 and an ambulance shows up?
Two fire trucks.
So there's a 911 audio?
No, we're not going into...
911, it's your emergency. Hi, this is Roxanne from the MJ Morning Show, 6 to 10 on Q105. Oh, my God. All right, so you called 911.
Yeah. So anyways, they determined, yes, it's a good idea to get some fluids, get her checked out, just make sure everything's okay. So we're going to go to the hospital, but she's like a little stubborn, you know, and she's also a really cool friend and I guess wanted me to have some like hot fireman fantasy and is like, I'm not going unless Roxanne rides in the truck. So
she told the responding EMTs, wait, they sent an actual fire truck.
Yeah.
So they sent the fire truck and the ambulance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how many vehicles total to her house?
I don't know. I wasn't counting vehicles. I was trying to help.
You should have set a fire like in the garage for like just to give them something to do.
Some practice or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I support firefighters. I want to train them anytime I can.
All right. So your friend says, I'm not going to the hospital unless Roxanne gets to go.
Yes. In the truck. And so, which is kind of a bucket list thing. So it was so nice of her. And then so, but the guy pulls, you know, he steps, brings me aside and is like, Roxanne, you can just drive and follow us.
How do you know your name?
Because I told him.
They've met. All right.
And so, actually one of them knew my brother. Yeah. So they knew me.
You could not have included any of these details in that text?
Like, so what happens? You get into
I got no sleep last night. You're really making it hard for me to tell a story.
It's 7 o'clock at night. You could have told it then.
Come on, tell us a story.
My friend's dehydrated. So, we're going to the hospital. Anyways, I may not have work tonight.
Yes. Okay. So we get in the. So I say, okay, I'll follow you guys in my car. Again, she says, I'm not going unless Roxanne goes. So I'm in the front seat. We're driving there. And then I'm recording footage for my kids to show my girls that I'm riding in a fire truck. And I'm also having a conversation with the firefighter, and it's just like a nice, innocent, friendly conversation. But I guess, you know, an A and B conversation is always sounds a little different when it's overheard. So then I send a video to Doug thinking that I'm sending just the generic me in the fire truck and the sights and sounds.
Oh, but
and
you send him the video of you having a conversation with a firefighter?
Yeah. I send a video to Doug thinking that I'm sending just the generic me in the fire truck and the sights and sounds.
Oh, but
and
you send him the video of you having a conversation with a firefighter?
Yeah.
Did the firefighter know you were recording?
No.
Well, that's hold on. In the state of Florida, we had two-party consent state or one party?
Two.
I record everywhere I go. I don't care.
Yeah, we're a two-party state. You broke the law.
I was, like, taking video, so I'm sure he did know. But in any case, I sent that to Doug, and he's like, are you really, like, taking care of Kettle, or are you, you know, flirting with firefighters? What are you doing, Roxanne? So that was kind of a little...
Oh, Mr. Firefighter. Tell me about your hose. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's in the back. It's rolled up.
What else
do you want to know?
It's actually flat right now because...
How long were you at the hospital last night?
I don't know. Till like... I don't remember. 10 o'clock, maybe?
So essentially, your friend was dehydrated. Something a Gatorade probably would have solved.
Well, actually, it was the firefighters. The paramedics were like, she should go to the hospital. So it was the right thing to do. Yeah. And she's getting treated and everything's going to be fine.
Wait, till she gets the bill for that ambulance.
Was she admitted?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's in the hospital this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to go back and see her today. It's fine. So anyways, guys, that was the what happened. And thanks for letting me get through that story with no interruptions. I really appreciate it.
You could have solved the whole thing by saying, my friend's dehydrated. We're going to the hospital. Yeah. Everybody's fine.
Instead, you sent us a cryptic text and we're like, what the hell's going on with Roxanne?
Did you want us to worry?
I'm in a fire truck? No, I mean, we didn't know whether you were T-boned at an intersection.
You even said, my family is fine, which would allude
makes
to the
it
fact
seem
that
you're
something's wrong for them to have to be fine.
Like there was a car accident and everybody's fine but me.
And then you don't reply back to any of our texts.
Well, I'm not texting you from the... Oh, you know what I left out?
You're recording
I left out,
a firefighter not, surreptitiously. You're not going to reply back to our texts?
Real.
Roxanne Wilder. And she's wearing a firefighter red dress today.
I meant to type, I'm in the front seat of a fire truck right now. I left out the word front seat. Because that I thought I typed that. That would have made you guys feel much better.
That is a terrible detail to leave out with everything else going on.
Did you get the firefighter's number?
This is the NFL on the MJ Morning Show. All right, so you heard that Tom Brady now has made an announcement on when he will actually join Fox for his 10-year, $375 million deal. And of course, this is Super Bowl week. Oh, we got a couple of Super Bowl things we got to talk about later on. And you know what I didn't play yesterday? We got to dig this up. Andrew, see if you can reboot the Terry Bradshaw audio. Because Terry Bradshaw is part of the, you know, the Fox analyst team.
Yeah.
And some really interesting Terry Bradshaw interview audio that I want to play. Because he did an interview with Chris Wallace. And there's something really interesting, especially as we're here in Super Bowl week on the MJ Morning Show. And I got some Terry Bradshaw audio we'll get to in just a bit. But the Tom Brady news, which you know kind of came out yesterday. Do we have the audio on Tom Brady? Yeah, so listen to this. Tom Brady was on, Andrew, where was he interviewed? I know I sent you the story for the audio. Where was Tom Brady interviewed? Was this like a podcast or was this that Sirius XM deal that he does, whatever's going on? Anyway,
he does his own podcast with Jim Gray.
Oh, is that what? I don't follow Tom Brady's. I mean, listen, everyone's got a podcast. Everyone thinks they're a podcaster. 99.9% of the podcasts out there suck. All right. I mean, the whole podcast deal has been way overhyped. You know, look at the quality we deliver, like, for 4 hours every single day, Monday through Friday. And, of course, we do turn this amazing bonanza into a podcast every single day. But this is Tom Brady yesterday.
For me, I want to be great at what I do. And even, you know, talking even last week with the people at Fox Sports, you know, and the leadership there allowing me to start. You know, my Fox opportunity in the fall of 2024 is something that's great for me.
Look at that. So it was on Colin Cowherd's show, apparently.
Okay.
You know that Colin Cowherd, remember, he was a weekend sports guy here in Tampa at Fox 13.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't remember that, but Colin Cowherd was a local sports guy on Fox 13. You know, he was like Chip Carter during the weekdays, Colin Cowherd, like, during the weekends. And, you know, then he goes on to, like, I don't know what, ESPN or wherever the hell he went.
He's risen up the ranks.
Yeah,
man.
No, he has. So, Tom, you just heard it. The breaking news is that Tom Brady is not going to join the NFL this year. So, he's not going to be in the booth or doing whatever the hell he's supposed to do this year, the 23-24 season. Seems like he's going to take the whole year off, and he's not going to get busy with Fox until next year for the 24-25 season.
He's just going to be busy taking underwear selfies.
Yeah, we'll get into that later on. And then you notice how his hand was blocking his crotch. So you couldn't, like, you know, take too much of a, thing. You know, you couldn't take too much of a meat gaze. You know what I'm talking about? All right, hang on. Back at what?
That's all I was doing when I saw the picture. That's all. He has a sign behind him that says fresh produce. Let me tell you what it wasn't. Bananas.
6:33 at the MJ Morning Show. We're just getting started here, man. This is a kooky show today, I'm telling you. You got to hear what's coming up later on. But next, we'll get into early morons in the news, a spectacular pile of total idiot stories. Morons in the news next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
All right, here we go. Time for the morons in the news early edition. Oh, one thing before I get to the morons, one quickie here. My God, people love Michelle and the Goat yesterday. And I know we just talked about Tom Brady, but that's not the goat we're talking about. We're talking about Michelle and a real goat.
I got several texts yesterday from people asking me what the name of the it's not a ranch. What is it? A farm?
Yeah, a little farm. Okay. It's the dancing goat.
Okay, so they asked me what the name of it. Yeah. I didn't recall, but
dancing goat.
I sent them to your Instagram.
Yeah, it's right off like Racetrack Road. It's behind like the Publix over there, off of Tampa Road and Racetrack. It's right back in there, and it's Dancing Goat, and they have you got to go to their website because they have like a farmer's market, I think, on Sundays, and they sell like goat's milk and raw cow milk and honey, and they have 200 chickens laying eggs, so you get fresh eggs.
I've never had raw cow milk.
Yeah, it's called the Dancing Goat. I want to say the Laughing Goat.
Laughing Cow is like a cheese brand, isn't it?
Laughing Cow. Yeah. So it's the dancing goat in Tampa, and it's right on the Pinellas border, right on the Pinellas line is where they are. And, you know, we went out there on Sunday to get some fresh eggs and some cheese, and Pam owns the place, and she gives us a tour, and she says, hey, see this goat in this pen over here inside the barn? The goat was a week old, and she gives it to Michelle, and Michelle's holding the goat, and it is so cute. There's a video. People love this thing. So if you haven't seen my lovely wife, Michelle, and I got to be honest, Michelle's looking good in that video.
She always looks good.
I just thought she looked extra good on Sunday. So
she's next to a goat.
I mean, when you put a woman, even of average beauty, next to a farm animal.
So the video is up. Michelle and the goat. If you haven't seen it, it is on my Instagram, Certified MJ Radio. Go to Certified MJ Radio and you'll see Michelle and the goat. And while you're there, give me a follow, Certified MJ Radio. Hey, Andrew, did we put the goat also on videos? Can you add that quickly? If you don't use Instagram, Andrew will put Michelle and the goat. We'll put the link up in just a few minutes. Give us a few and we'll put the link up at mjmorningshow.com on our website. Just look at the top of the page for videos mentioned on the MJ Morning Show, and we'll put that link up so you can just click on a website instead of going to my Instagram if you don't want to go to Certified MJ Radio. All right, let's do some early morons in the news. No particular order, but I would have to say here, son, this is no way to go through life. Naked man ran through Des Moines hotel swinging a toilet plunger. Yeah, baby.
That could have been a party now.
Yes, that could have been me 20 times.
Oh, yeah, baby. A 21-year-old man is accused of running naked through a Des Moines, Iowa hotel, swinging a toilet plunger around and pulling fire alarms.
Wow.
What the hell? It sounds like a drug-related incident to me.
What hotel was it?
I'm going to get to all that here in just a second. So... Yes.
I'm just trying to think what you would be doing with a toilet plunger that didn't involve toilets, but they're so filthy. But if it was a clean one, you know what you could use it for on like a really large person? You could do cupping.
Yeah.
Like I could do cupping on you.
I don't know what cupping is, but that hand gesture really.
I know what it is.
Really suspect.
Cupping, that's when you do like suction things
on your back.
On your back. What are the benefits of cupping, Roxanne?
I think it increases circulation throughout your body. Yeah. So I think
I heard
it's like,
a story that there's literally nothing it does to you. People are just bruising themselves like asses.
Have you been cupped, Roxanne?
I tried to cup myself.
Dude, is that like the Olympics a couple of years back where like all these athletes had like big red blotches on them?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't want anything to have to do with suction on my back.
I bought a set of cups. I have them at home.
Hold on, you bought a set of cups to get cupped?
Yeah.
Oh, you need a cup faster.
I cupped myself.
Did you really? Yeah. And then, Froggy, what have you seen? Watched some kind of YouTube channel on cupping?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Froggy follows 290 YouTube channels.
It was like a UFC story about all the UFC fighters that do it, and you can see the cups on them when they're fighting, and they all, like, lost. That was the story. They all got their ass beat.
But it leaves gigantic round blotches. It's like giant, round hooks. It's like giant round hickeys is what it looks like.
You know what? Now that I think about it, one time I did get cupped professionally, and it was I went to an acupuncturist, and she did cupping at the same time, and my back did look not as horrific as the pictures you're looking at, but it definitely leaves some marks on you.
It looks like Djokovic served a tennis ball at your back at 139 miles an hour. That's what it looks like. And it's all bruised. It's a circle. It looks like you got a disease or something. Looks like you got the latest thing out of the Wuhan lab or the Wuhan wet market. Take your pick. It's a 50-50 deal on the COVID thing, folks.
The hotel guy could not have cupped himself with a plunger like this.
All right, let me get back to 21-year-old naked dude in the hotel. It's Trevin Wayne Hill, 21, of Las Vegas. Whatever happens in Des Moines stays in Des Moines.
Different town, man.
21-year-old Trevin Wayne Hill from Las Vegas was arrested, charged with assault while displaying a dangerous weapon. First-degree criminal mischief, disorderly conduct, according to the booking records. The Des Moines Police Department said Hill approached a victim in the 18th floor stairwell at the Des Moines Marriott downtown with a toilet plunger. According to the court documents, he was yelling, "I'm going to effing get you," as he chased the victim, according to the report. Police said that multiple people saw Hill allegedly pull fire alarms around the hotel. The man continued running on several floors, swinging the plunger until he was tackled by police officers. He was booked into the Polk County Jail, not Polk County with Grady Judd, but the Polk County in Des Moines, Iowa. And he's pleaded not guilty to the charges. Wait, you're pulling fire alarms? You're swinging around a plunger? You're naked? I mean, this is like a bath salts incident or what else? Ecstasy? I mean,
or Special K. Is it ketamine?
Yeah, ketamine, Special K, yeah. Yeah, I did some of that last night.
Plunger's really not
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
The cereal, right?
I've never done that. But this is not, what were you saying, Frog?
A plunger wouldn't be a good weapon. I mean, it's rubberized on the end. It's going to bounce off you.
So part of the charges were displaying a dangerous weapon. In what state is a toilet plunger a dangerous weapon? I don't know.
It's literally rubber.
Dude, first of all.
You have a stick. I get that.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how it's being wielded.
But you can't hold the rubber part and hit a stick. It'll be no force.
That's true.
Oh, wait a sec. My bad. This is, here's why. Because this is a dual-purpose tool. One end was the plunger. The other end was a medieval mace, the ball with the spikes and the chain.
The mace plunger.
There we go.
Those are popular.
Yeah, very big at the Renaissance Festival. They sell those in booths, I think.
I've seen it in the TV section.
No, it's a plunger. Why is that a deadly weapon? Anyway, son, this is no way to go through life. Man, I'm just getting primed, dude. This is just the beginning. Hey, I got a drive-through burglary spree you got to hear about. Oh, you know, like the food service companies that do food at a lot of schools?
Yeah. Like the white trucks that drop off all the food grade school grade food?
Like Aramark, they'll do food service. Not a good look. So we'll get into that next. And then, I got another online hitman story. Yeah, those really exist. All right, hang on. Back in a second, and we'll do chunk two of the morons in the news next, right here on the MJ Morning Show. Yeah, the best is yet to come, so stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 7:01, rolling up on 7:02. And moments ago, I wish you could have seen this. Fester's been trying to look. MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 7:01, rolling up on 7:02. And moments ago, I wish you could have seen this. Fester's been trying to look. Mirror computer for me. So when I want to see something on the screen, you'll hear me say, Fester, come on, stop. You're the worst. Let go of the mouse. I'll do this. When you hear that, that is the shared computer screen. So it's a mirror. I've got one screen in front of me, and then on the other side, there's another monitor so Fester can see the screen in front of him. Same computer, just the exact same information on the screen. So Fester is trying to log in, and he can't log in. It's logging him out.
You don't need to bring all this up.
Well, hold on. No, this is important. And I've just discovered something. Fester changed his password yesterday. And by the way, our security around here got a lot better in the last, 4 months, 3 months?
Last quarter of 2022, I've noticed a big increase in our corporate initiative.
Well, because so many places are getting hacked and ransomwared. In the broadcast business, there was a massive ransomware attack of a company called Skyview last week. And it really screwed things up big time. The company that provides the top of the hour news, they distribute like ABC News, top of the hour for talk stations, and CBS Radio, top of the hour. And a company called Skyview, they got hacked. And the networks were screwed up for like the whole week. Because this company got hacked. It was nuts. So our company, Beasley Media Group, is doing the right thing, and we've got like triple authentication login. You know, they gotta send a text to your grandma now for verification, and I mean all kinds of crap. So Fester, you were forced to change your password, and here's what I found out during the break. That Fester changed the password, could not remember what he changed the password to yesterday. And I say to Fester, well, don't you have a password keeper? And Fester says, no.
No.
Dude, how do you keep track? I have 100 different passwords. How do you keep track of that stuff?
Because I usually have like one of...
Oh, my God. You have one password for... Oh, my God.
Can you just update it with numbers?
Can I finish the whole sentence? I have one of three passwords.
That's bad also.
One of three. I mean, you know, it's either going to be this specific.
God.
Can you just update it with numbers?
Can I finish the whole sentence? I have one of three passwords.
That's bad also.
One of three. I mean, you know, it's either going to be this specific word and then a set of numbers and then a unique symbol.
But some passwords don't allow symbols. Some require symbols. Some require uppercase, one lowercase, right. This, that.
So every, like, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 months, the company makes me change my email login.
You got to get a password keeper. I've got one I've been using for years. And I have every...
4 or 5, 6 months, the company makes me change my email login.
You got to get a password keeper. I've got one I've been using for years. And I have everything listed in there. There's just so much crap. You know, the companies you have online accounts with, the billing information. There's just, I might have 200 entries on in my password keeper.
You want to see my password keeper?
You don't have one either, do you?
All up here.
Oh, my God. She's pointing to her... She's pointing to her Mensa brain over there.
There's no way you have 200 passwords.
Dude,
porn sites are you using?
I don't have porn site passwords.
Yeah, you don't need passwords to those.
I mean, what do you need passwords for? That many?
I mean, a couple different banks, a couple different email. Every email account has it. I mean, every login.
If I go to my Keeper, I use Keeper. If I go to this right now, doing a thumb biometric login on my Pixel.
Now we know where to look when we want to hack your phone.
Yeah, but no, you can't get it. You got to put a thumb on here.
You chop off your thumb.
Yeah, like an old mafia bit. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking. I've got so many files in here. I got tons of them. Fester, get a password keeper. And you have three passwords. You're just waiting to get hacked. All right, let's continue with the early morons in the news. And, man, this is mighty unfortunate. So what happens in February? February is a certain type of month. It is designated as
Valentine's Day month.
That's not what I'm looking for. No, because Valentine's Day is just Valentine's Day. But
don't tell my kids that. This whole month is about love.
February is
National Women's Month.
No.
Why is it National Heart Month?
No, we're red for hearts,
guys. You're close.
Are they
National Brown Month?
National what?
Is it National Brown Month? National Purple Month? I don't know. What is it?
Well, it is Black History Month.
No.
It is.
Really? I thought it was National Women's Month.
No. No. Come on.
But well, of course we know that.
All the women are wearing red.
I thought you were talking like theme or like a party theme. No, everybody knows it's
February is Black History Month.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
That's why I'm asking what month it is. So if everyone knows it, why didn't you say it?
Because I thought you were talking about, like, themes.
I'm just watching Froggy deteriorate here.
Yes.
Nothing to deteriorate. He knows.
All right, Froggy randomly picks a color.
All the colors in the crown box, Froggy, jackass.
All right. So it's Black History Month, all right? What's the worst thing a school cafeteria company can possibly do on the first day of Black History Month?
I'm not even taking a guess.
Yeah, why don't you shut up over there?
I'm just going to spectate.
You know, this town is right next door to where I grew up a good portion of my life. I lived in Nanuet, New York for ages 3 through 11. Then we moved to Virginia Beach, or maybe 3 through 10. I grew up in Nanuet. Right next door is a town called Nyack in Rockland County. And, well, this is mighty unfortunate. A vendor that provides food service to schools has apologized for unintentional insensitivity. This is from Channel 4, NBC New York. God. The first day of Black History Month, students at Nyack Middle School were served chicken and waffles and watermelon for dessert.
Okay, that's not unintentional.
Well, listen,
that's
you would think that, come on, how could this possibly be random?
Is watermelon even in season?
It's not. Well,
hold on.
They grow watermelon in Mexico.
Okay, and, all right. I don't know.
But you want the U.S. grown summertime watermelon. And the ones with seeds are typically sweeter than the ones without seeds. But, you know, that's a whole different.
I like the square watermelons.
Those are like $300 in Japan. I saw one of those one time. Anyway, I mean, how unfortunate is this? The first day of Black History Month.
What was on the menu again?
On February 1st, chicken and waffles and watermelon for dessert.
That's
and right. You know,
and listen, who came up with this again?
It was Aramark. So the food service company is Aramark, and of course, you know, the foods I just mentioned have been stereotypicalized, you know, over the years, and sometimes they're used in a racist, insensitive way. And
of all days, I mean,
exactly. Of all days that they have chicken and waffles and watermelon on the menu, they had it on February 1st.
I mean, I love all three of those.
On the first day of Black History Month.
But very random.
If I go to any restaurant, that might be the exact meal I pick.
Was that last Wednesday? Let me go to the calendar. I think it was last Wednesday.
Starving now.
Yeah. Last Wednesday was Feb 1. It's terrible. Aramark. Aramark said in a statement. And you've seen them, Aramark. They do uniforms. They do all kinds of stuff.
MJ.
Yeah.
As somebody who stands against racism and inequality, I don't understand food racism.
Well,
I don't understand.
Think about it.
Yeah, listen.
I don't get it.
I'm a white guy.
I will eat fried chicken 4 times a week.
Yeah, I love fried chicken. One of my absolute favorites.
A week does not pass by in the summer. I don't buy a watermelon.
Great, like skillet fried, southern fried chicken is just amazing. Watermelon is one of my favorites.
Another
food which is a lot of times associated with Black Americans is collard greens. And, you know, collard greens are among my absolute. I love amazing collard greens.
Collard green, black eyed peas.
One of my favorites. But no, very unfortunate. Aramark said in a statement to NBC4 New York that the situation never should have happened and apologized for what it called an inexcusable mistake. We've apologized for our mistake and are working to determine how it happened. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Some smartass that was making the menu said, first day of Black History Month. Now, whether they meant it in a racist tone or they thought that it was supportive or celebratory, I don't know.
Have they ever served it before?
I don't know.
You
know,
that's a good question.
I remember having delicious chicken and waffles at school lunch.
Yeah,
chicken
pizza.
Our chicken wasn't good.
All right, first of all, Roxanne, that's racist because as an Italian American, October is National Italian American Heritage Month. And if those schools serve pizza during that month, the Guineas will be pissed.
You can't say that.
What? Can't say
you,
what?
You can't say the Guineas will be pissed.
Listen, October. You know what we call it?
What?
Waptober.
Oh, no, stop it. No, yes. you can't Waptober. Say that.
Yes.
No, Did you guys know
that October is National Italian American Heritage Month?
I did.
Of course you know.
No, it's not. Is it really?
Yes, October.
And you call it Waptober?
All the listen.
What? It's terrible.
Dago with the Dago down to the pizzeria and celebrate Italian Heritage Month. You know what those school cafeterias give out every October 1st? Pizza.
By the way, we've got two Italians in the studio because Froggy is Italian and Fester's. I got Cusmano over here and I got Dominic Siciliano.
Yeah,
I got Fester is the Siciliano over here.
You don't have a little Italian in you, Schnitt?
No. not in me personally, but we have, you know, Italians in the family.
Oh.
Got a, you know, part of the family that's Italian. Anyway,
I know what kind of family you mean.
Anyway, the food mix up is.
That's unfortunate, but
it does sound delicious.
And it wasn't the first time they did that.
What are you saying?
Elaborate, Andrew.
Go ahead.
Apparently in 2018, two Aramark employees were fired after they served on the first day of
where?
Black History Month.
Did you say
this
where?
This was in New York.
Okay.
Well, this was in New York as well.
New York University Dining Hall.
Oh, NYU in Manhattan. Yeah. Oh, wow.
They served something that got covered up by a papa bed. They served ribs, collard greens, cornbread, smashed yams, mac and cheese, and red Kool-Aid or watermelon-flavored water on the first day.
Oh, my God. That's
awesome. That is awful.
So Aramark has a track history.
If I were going to the electric chair, that would be my last meal. That is so delicious.
Not an isolated incident. All right, 7:13 at the MJ Morning Show. Folks, you're in luck because next we start the ridiculously long, uninterrupted chunk of the MJ Morning Show. And I got a book in the mail. Some listener sent me a book of which we were mentioned. And this brings back a really interesting story, which has a very interesting kind of ending to it. And if you have not heard this story, this is crazy. It was about a guy that was harassing me at home. The entire show was getting harassed. My friends were getting harassed. Hold on. If you haven't heard this story, we'll get into this next. And a whole lot more. We're loaded. Oh, in fact, coming up at 7:45 this morning, 7:45, I was almost run over by another food delivery car. This was the closest yet. I was almost flattened like a bug. I virtually had to dive out of the way with the dogs. All right, hold on. I'm naming names also. Hang on next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 7:25. Ladies and gentlemen, the long chunk of the MJ Morning Show starts right now. Every morning at right around this time, we go an hour and 20 minutes nonstop. So if you're listening in the car, you like the show, figure out a way how to, you know, drag us into where you work. I mean, just listen on a regular radio, on your apps. I mean, if you have a smartphone, it's a radio. I mean, use your smartphone. Use either the TuneIn app, the Odyssey app, the MyQ105 app, our very own app, the iHeart app, and just search for Q105 Tampa Bay, and boom. You can continue listening to the show right on your smartphone. Also, Alexa, for instance, or any of the smart speakers, just say, you know, play Q105 Tampa Bay. So keep listening to the MJ Morning Show when you get to your destination, because you're missing a lot of stuff. Powerball. Was it Powerball? I guess Powerball was actually won last night.
Oh, wow.
Powerball was what, $747 million. One freaking ticket in Washington State, apparently. What? Someone in Washington State last night won the estimated $747 million. I think the final number was a little higher.
It always creeps up a little bit.
Yeah, you got to go on your smartphone because these Nimrods here with our whatever company we use to block like porno sites, they block gambling sites. And we can't get on the Powerball website. We've asked for 2 years to unblock this. You know, why is that? Why can't they unblock? So if we try to go to Powerball, it's blocked. If we try to go to Mega Millions, I don't think that one's blocked.
Well, they don't want us to be degenerate gamblers. If we just want to play a little bit, play around on Mega Millions a little bit, that's fine. But Powerball 2,
yeah, winning numbers 5, 11, 22, 23, 69. The Powerball number was 7. One ticket. It looks like 754.6. Yeah. Is that what you have?
That's what I have.
Yeah. So it was 747 was the estimate, and the final tally, $754.6 million. One ticket in Washington State, apparently. That is nuts. You know what? That $2 billion ticket for California, I don't think that has been claimed yet either. That was won back in November. Remember, $2 billion?
Yeah.
And that was not claimed as of, what, a week or two ago. No one claimed a $2 billion. Do you have that?
I'm looking.
Yeah, like November 8th, $2.04 billion. And no winner has come forward. That was according to a report like a week or two ago. And you got to ask the question, whoever bought the ticket, did they even know they won? Because, listen, people put tickets in pockets. They get washed. They get forgotten about, thrown in a drawer, thrown in a glove box. But last we heard, what is this story from?
This is from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Where's California's $2.04 billion Powerball winner from November? Hadn't come forward yet.
He's probably waiting until the last minute.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, there'd be no point, really.
I don't know.
I got a package yesterday. Fester brings in one of those little flat rate USPS priority mailboxes. And inside, after I opened it up, was a book.
Okay.
And the book was a book about phone freaks. And a guy wrote the book who I have a little history with. Now, what is a phone freak? Now, I was exposed to phone freaks when I was in summer camp when I was like 11 or 12 years old. Seriously. I had a counselor that was into this and would tell us stories that, and this is back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, that there were like groups of people that would hack the phone company and they would figure out how to get into like the switching offices through certain tricks on the phone, make all kinds of free phone calls. They were called phone freaks.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of weird, wacky stuff that you could do with the old phone company equipment. And so I was aware of this. Turns out one of these phone freaks started screwing with the MJ Morning Show back in the late 1990s. The guy's name was Brad Carter. And Brad was a St. Louis listener. And he listened to us on Z1077, one of our affiliate stations out of St. Louis. And he lived right across the Mississippi in Illinois, in East Alton.
Lovely.
This guy was harassing me. Didn't know who he was until, well, it was discovered who he was.
It was a long time, right?
It was like a year. This guy was calling my home phone at all hours and was, you know, trying to, you know, screw with me on the phone. And I would change my phone number and a day later, I would change my unlisted number and a day later, the guy would be calling me again on my brand new number. I went through like, I don't know, 8 phone numbers at my house. And Verizon at the time couldn't figure out what was going on. And, well, we found out what it was. Their security was so lax that this guy, this Brad Carter, he was a social engineering massager. So this guy was a total social engineer. He would, like, get on the phone and fake that he was with a different department at Verizon and his computer was locked out. Hey, can you look something up for me? So that's how the guy was. I mean, it was just, like, simple stuff. The guy would wiggle in to a back number at Verizon, pretend he was an employee, and he would scam him. And it was like just social engineering. So that's how this guy, it was simple stuff. He wasn't like totally hacking into their computer network. He was getting people to give him the stuff over the phone.
Get somebody on the line, make a friend, try to give him a story and get the information.
Now, since then, a lot of the companies, like the cell phone companies, for instance, they have gone to better security. For instance, the person at the phone company, like T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon Wireless, if you don't know the account PIN number, they can't get in.
No.
So you can't do this crap anymore in most cases. But this guy was calling our house at all hours, coming up with all kinds of stories. He'd have my new number the day after we changed it. And Verizon was baffled. Then one night, like the last delivery for Domino's Pizza, like 1 a.m, I get a phone call saying, it's coming to your front door.
Ooh.
And And then the doorbell rings. I'm like, what the hell? I grab like a Glock, 45 caliber. I answer the door with a gun in my hand, and it's the Domino's Pizza guy. dropping off a pizza. This guy sent a pizza to my house at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I mean, crazy stuff.
So creepy.
But then he started calling like BJ at home from the old MJ and BJ show.
Of course.
He was calling Froggy number one at home. And he was doing all this crap. And it was getting to be very harassing. And I'd mentioned this at the time to Sheriff David G. And Sheriff G said, you know, I got a couple of guys in our intel division. Tell them the story. So told him the story. The two guys, it was Joe Greco and Jason Van Brunt. Jason Van Brunt, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. These guys found the guy. I don't know how the hell they did it, but they found it. And they're like, hey, we're coming over to talk to you. Found them. I don't know how the hell. It was amazing. And they said, yep, guy's name is Brad Carter, lives in East Alton, Illinois. I'm like, oh, man, that's right across from St. Louis. Anyway, we found out who this guy was, and they called him up, and they said, listen, this is the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. We're going to, you know, work with the East Alton police to get a warrant for your arrest for harassment. Anyway, it shut the guy down. He thought that he was so smart. His deal was he would use like calling cards that would not produce a trace, so the caller ID wouldn't work. And if you hit like a star 57 for a phone company trap, that wouldn't work. So this guy thought he was so brilliant until he wasn't, because my buddies at the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, they tracked this guy down.
For your run-of-the-mill prank caller, he was pretty smart.
And this went on for a year.
Right.
Turns out this guy wrote a book. And we're a chapter in this book.
You wrote a book on what?
On phone freaking. On like just what they did. Oh, all the kind God. Of. But wait a minute. There's a reason why I'm telling the story. And it's beyond just the book. The book apparently was copyrighted in, let's see, the book is copyright 2010.
All right, so it's an old book.
So 2010 is when the guy wrote the book. And it's a whole chapter. And it's called The Wacky Morning DJ. And he changes all of our names. So it's not MJ.
So you can't sue him.
Yeah, so he changed all the names. Also, he took a lot of liberties in the story. So he actually embellished a lot. He left out the fact that he did say that I did figure out who he was, and he had no idea how I did it. He left out the fact that he was called by the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office threatening to fly out there to have him arrested. So he left that out of the book. But
so this is a fictional book?
No, it's a real book. No,
but
it's
he just changed your name.
It's a real book all about his exploits and told the story about harassing me. There's like 12 pages of the harassment of me in the book.
But he wrote it from his perspective,
right.
And he took some creative liberties.
Right, and I had no idea this book existed until a listener sends me the book in the mail with a note. Hey, I remember you were harassed by this guy, and I don't know if it's a friend of this guy. I don't even know if maybe it is this guy, Brad, sending me the book under a different name. I don't know.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before.
We have. We've talked about this guy and the harassment on the show a couple of times over the years, but there's a chapter to this that I did not talk about. This book's from 2010. This guy, Brad, the phone freak loser dude, this guy got in trouble and almost went to federal prison. So he got his just desserts. He had his little thing coming to him. And I wanted to share this with you. He screwed with Safeway, the supermarket chain,
right?
And was harassing customers of their like frequent customer program.
Like a customer survey program?
Yeah.
Or a customer awards
listen to
program?
This. Yeah, because I remembered as soon as the book showed up, and there's a whole section on this guy harassing me and calling. Oh, he didn't put the pizza story in there. And so I remembered that we did look him up years ago, and there was a story that popped up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to tell the story about the book showing up. Some listeners sent me the book, and I'm part of a chapter here. And I remembered that this guy got in trouble. And this is from 2017. I got to share this with you. Prank calls to Safeway customers backfire on YouTube blogger. So then he started to do his phone pranks on YouTube to monetize them and make money. Well, guess what? Bradley Carter, I'm going to read this. This is from Oregon Live. From Oregon Live, I think it's the Oregonian newspaper. I think it's probably out of Portland.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Bradley Carter landed before a federal judge Monday on a case that a prosecutor called more than a practical joke gone too far. Carter, who started Phone Losers of America in 1990, in the 90s, obtained personal information about Safeway customers, made prank calls to them across the country, recorded and then broadcast the conversations on YouTube to ridicule people, Assistant U.S. Attorney Scott Bradford said. The stunt began after an anonymous Reddit user sent Carter an email with the credentials to log into a Safeway customer service account. Carter, 44 at the time, back in 2017, of Albany, Oregon, obtained the personal information of shoppers from a customer satisfaction survey that the grocery store chain conducted. He then impersonated a Safeway employee and made harassing phone calls to the customers. He recorded and uploaded the calls to his YouTube channel, seeking to drive up traffic, page views, and subscribers, and to secure more advertising revenue, according to the federal prosecutors. With access to the customer satisfaction surveys, Carter would pose as a store manager and call the customer and make up stuff about the customer's complaint, according to investigators. He called customers from Massachusetts to Texas, California, Oregon, and Washington. In one case, for example, when a customer complained about a store's remodel and moving of a Starbucks kiosk to the back of the store, Carter suggested the customer could stand to lose a few extra pounds with the extra walk. In another call, Carter spoke to a customer who the customer the meats are in the back, but only for really good customers, then hung up. The prosecution urged U.S. District Judge Marco A. Hernandez to send Carter to prison for 8 months for intentionally accessing a public computer without authorization. He publicly embarrassed at least 14 Safeway customers, damaged the grocery's reputation, according to the prosecutor. Anyway, let me cut to the final thing here. The judge gave him 8 months of house arrest.
Out of fear for his own life.
Yeah.
And
yeah, investigators listened to the blog. Safeway had to shut down their customer service survey affecting 2,300 stores.
I mean, Safeway's an enormous... Yeah. Is it the largest supermarket in the country?
I think Kroger might be.
I think Kroger's got
Yeah, Kroger, but Safeway's big as well. And then Safeway bought...
In the country?
I think Kroger might be.
I think Kroger's got
Yeah, Kroger, but Safeway's big as well. And then Safeway bought Albertsons, didn't they?
I think so.
At some point. When the FBI raided his home on November 8, 2016, Carter essentially confessed to the offense, accepted responsibility. He pleaded guilty to the crime in early July of 2017. Quote, I'm sorry I wasted the court's resources on something like this. Standing between his two lawyers, I realized what I did was wrong. The judge questioned Mr. Carter, do you know who is in federal prison? Listen, this is a quote. This is a quote. Mr. Carter, do you know who is in federal prison like you in federal prison?
What happened to people like you?
Carter nodded.
What are you in for, prank calling?
Yeah. Carter nodded. You think you know what's in there, but you don't, the judge said. Carter told the judge, I made a mistake. Yeah, the judge hesitated, then told Carter that the fear he's feeling at the moment with his heart beating rapidly, wondering if he'd go to federal prison, is how your victims felt. Anyway, he ended up getting, he said if he was a state judge still that he would get a much different sentence, but he would have done 90 days in a community jail for his crime. Anyway, the court, federal court, sentenced him to 8 months of home detention with GPS monitoring, periodic searches of his computers, 250 hours of community service, 5 years of probation, and he also had to pay a $19,000 $600 restitution charge.
Did he get popped for broadcasting those calls, too?
No, I don't think that ever happened. Really? Because it wasn't on broadcast. It was on YouTube. It wasn't on the radio.
Oh, yeah,
it wasn't an FCC thing. Oh. So, anyway, I just thought that was an interesting story. How, isn't that amazing?
It really is.
So this guy was harassing me. We figured out who he was. The cops called, didn't scare him. He continued, and then he almost went to federal prison. So he's got a federal record. He did home detention.
Good for him.
And probation. So Brad Carter, who went from Illinois to Oregon, now I believe he's in New Mexico.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Brad.
So good old Brad Carter. So whoever sent me the book, I left a note at home.
Was it from out of town?
The book was mailed from like Shreveport, Louisiana. And it was nice. Like they even put a little post-it note on the chapter, and the note was like, you know, he included the email address. Hey, I thought you'd enjoy this. I read this book, and I realized that, hey, he was talking about you because he'd heard us talk about it in the past. So, listen, it might be totally legit, but if it is, thank you very much for sending me the book.
He's the one guy who read it.
All right, so Safeway is part of the Albertsons Group, and it's the fifth largest chain of supermarkets.
Oh, there you go.
Good research.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Roxanne, you had a what?
All right. What are you talking about?
Hold on. What are you communicating over here?
Yesterday, over the last 3 weeks.
I got something going on with Roxanne and Fester right now.
Okay, over the last three weeks.
What is going on?
He's a tattletale.
Jesus Christ. Over the last 3 weeks, we've had an issue in studio with Roxanne. And her need to hold up signs to the camera thinking she's entertaining people on our...
And you're twirling your hair. You're doing your nervous twirl.
Okay, she's not holding up signs anymore. Yep. She has signs...
Okay, I followed your instructions.
Bosom. Look,
you're turning into a Twitch streamer.
On her shirt.
What are you doing?
On her shirt, she has a sign that says, Happy Birthday,
Roxanne.
Corre.
Stop. You're distracting the show. Knock it off.
How am I distracting the show?
Just stop it off. Now you've got the sign across your chest
that
says, Happy Birthday on your boobs?
You said nothing. This is my new birthday apparel line.
Oh, great.
So you're a Twitch streamer.
If you message Roxanne on our text line, she will hold up almost whatever you want.
You asked me not to hold up signs, like physically hold up signs. I'm not going to do that anymore.
So now you're pasting them to your boobs? That's better?
This is
my birthday apparel line.
Yeah, I can't see it because...
It's too low for you.
Happy birthday, Corey, XOXOXO. It's too low because we have no line of sight. Right. I can barely see their faces because this is the worst studio setup I've ever worked in my entire career.
Did you get the... shot of Roxanne?
Of course he did. I've had it on for 30 minutes.
Oh. You've had that on your boobs for 30 minutes?
Yes.
MJ's telling this fantastic Brad Carter story, and here you are trying to wish happy birthday to Corey for half an hour?
I'm not distracting MJ. You can't see below my neck, so it doesn't even distract you.
I have another story I want to tell because I was almost run over. It was almost the Roxanne, Fester, and Froggy show. I've talked about some of the reckless, like DoorDash and Uber Eats delivery drivers in my neighborhood. I was almost run over. 7:45. Look at this. I'm 7:46 now. I'm on time. I tease this as a 7:45 story. This is good for me. This is really good. I'm kind of on time here. And I'm going to name names here. I was walking the dogs, and this was on Friday night. So Friday night, I'm walking the dogs right after 6 p.m. Sun was still up. You know, the days are getting longer again as we get past the winter solstice. And as I'm walking the dogs, this car is flying at me. And I had seen the car go down the street. So the car was not going as fast coming into the neighborhood. And I saw that it stopped at a nearby neighbor's house. I'm like, must be a food delivery. Then the same car leaves after they obviously dropped off the food delivery, and the car is racing, doing maybe 50 miles an hour in a 25 in my neighborhood. The car is flying. I'm walking the dogs. I have to jump out of the way. The car is coming right at me. It is still light out. There's still plenty of sun out. It was like just after 6 o'clock, I don't know, like 6:05 or so. So, you know, the days are getting longer and the car is coming right at me and it's not slowing down.
Right.
It is not trying to avoid me. It's coming right at me.
It probably wasn't even looking up. It's probably looking down at a phone or something.
Maybe. And the pedal was to the metal. I have to jump out of the way. I'm yanking the dogs on the leashes to jump out of the way. And the car just whizzes right by me and probably 2 feet away from me. As I'm able to jump out of the way, the car goes by me maybe 2 feet from hitting me and the dogs.
Ugh.
All right? And the car just takes off. I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell was that? So I go to the neighbor's house that got the delivery because, I mean, I was pretty sure that I saw a pizza box on the front dashboard. As they drove by the first time, I'm like, was that a pizza box? So they stopped off, and it turns out it was a pizza delivery. So I go to my neighbor's house. I'm like, hey, did you guys just get a pizza delivery? And they said, yeah.
Would you like some?
No.
Oh.
I said, do you mind telling me where it come from? And they said, oh, yeah, it's from Eddie and Sam's, which
in
is
downtown?
In downtown Tampa. So it came from Eddie and Sam's Pizza. But they don't deliver. They use the app. So it's not Eddie and Sam. Okay. Eddie and Sam didn't nearly run me over.
Eddie's not delivering pies.
It was Uber Eats.
Okay.
So I said to my neighbor, who delivered it? She said, oh, I used the app. It was Uber Eats. So they went on the app, and then they put in a complaint. But I was almost freaking run over by an Uber Eats driver delivering for Eddie and Sam's Pizza in downtown Tampa. And again, it's not Eddie's fault. It's not Sam's fault. They don't deliver. They use the apps. Once the pizza's picked up by the third party, they have nothing to do with it other than they made the pizza.
And they don't know who the driver is, right? So yeah. One of the drivers gets the order, picks it up.
My neighbor also said, man, it's taken an hour to get here. So I don't think that was Eddie and Sam's fault either. I think the delivery driver, it was Uber Eats, was just running crazy late. So I'm thinking this guy was like, you know, driving like a maniac because the dude was running so, you know, flipping late is maybe what the story. Like, you know, the pizza guy in Home Alone, you know, and he smashes into that metal lawn jockey.
That's it. Every time he pulls
every
up?
Time. Every single time. So that's my deal. I was almost mowed over by, and this is like the second time in a month. Remember I told the story about the Uber Eats guy or what DoorDash? I don't know which one that was. I'm walking the dogs on a portion of my neighborhood where there's no sidewalk. The guy's coming right at me. I've got a flashlight on. And it wasn't even totally dark yet. And then as he almost runs into me, and then as I'm running off to the side, I can see the dude's just like totally glued to his phone, not even watching where he's going.
Drivers are too distracted for you to be walking.
Listen.
It's too dangerous to walk.
This is the second time in a month that I've almost been mowed down by these food delivery guys.
Get a treadmill.
Yeah, get a treadmill and a little patch of grass for the dog.
The dogs love to go on their walk.
It's going to kill you, though.
Yeah. The dog won't love getting hit.
Problem last night?
Oh, yeah. So weird.
Let me tell you what happened. Roxanne, during a commercial break, the last break, 7:15 or so?
Sure.
How'd you bring this up? You were like...
I just said, oh, guys, guess what happened yesterday?
Yeah.
My Discover card got declined because there's some sort of problem.
Well, we told you.
Right.
Here's what happened. Roxanne, during the last commercial break, said, hey, my Discover card got declined. And that's when I said, ooh, I've got a story about the Discover card. And Fester, you saw the story as well.
Anytime I see Discover card, I think of one person. And that's you.
I know. Hold on a bit. Should I tell the Discover card story again?
If you want to.
Hang on. Here's what happened with the Discover card. Where were you where your card was declined?
I was at Starbucks buying cake pops and I got declined.
Hold on. What?
Starbucks, but I just wanted to buy a couple cake pops.
What the hell's a cake pop?
It's like a lollipop made out of cake, dipped in chocolate.
All right.
They're delicious.
They sell those. I don't go to Starbucks. And Michelle doesn't like Starbucks because she says their coffee tastes burnt. Michelle loves Dunkin', you know?
Yeah,
I didn't get coffee. I'm not a Starbucks frequenter.
Cake pops are burnt, too.
Yeah.
They're to a crisp.
So I got
their charcoal briquettes. Yeah. They're on a stick. All right, so you go to Starbucks.
Yeah, I got cake pops barbecue flavor. And
what? Oh, no, you're making that. Yes. Oh, that's a joke.
Oh, right. Good one.
Put in my Discover card.
Yeah.
And
what happens?
It says, just really aggressive. Card declined. And
well, it's flashing and going like this. It's going decline. Yeah. Deadbeat. Credit score 492.
So Roxanne instantly says, "Do you know who I am?"
All right, so
yeah, that's exactly.
Your card gets declined.
Yeah, and I did kind of like the girl glared at me, and so I glared back at her. Like, of course I pay my bill. This is so. But you know,
the Starbucks employees looking at you like, loser, man, this thing's like, you got an $8 sale here. How much was it?
It was probably $17.
Whatever, man. What kind of loser is this? Discover card getting declined for $17.
Exactly. So I pull out another. I go,
what kind of deadbeat floozy is this in my Starbucks?
Precisely. That's. I felt like a deadbeat floozy, and so then I put in my other card. That works, thank God. And I do have a tendency to think the worst. So I was like, someone's stolen my Discover card. They've spent $20,000.
Got Best Buy. Bought a whole home's worth of goods at Best Buy.
So I should have called immediately, but instead I went to another store. I went to CVS. Then my daughter and I bought a bunch of stuff there.
Tried the Discover card again.
Yep, Valentine's cards.
And it didn't work, right?
Didn't work. And then the guy, I was like, this might not work, but I just want to try it. So I put it in, and he's like, I think you broke my system.
Hold on.
No.
The guy at Walgreens is accusing you of breaking the system?
Yes. And so then I said, no, I didn't break your... A card can't break your system. Try this one.
You deadbeat floozy. You just broke my system.
So suddenly Roxanne looks like a poker dealer pulling out all these cards. Can I put half on this and half on this? Yeah.
Well...
Can I try the second one?
It turns out that it wasn't you. You were not a deadbeat floozy. Turns out Discover had a problem. Discover card users nationwide... reported that they had problems making the cards work, and Discover said it was due to technical issues, and it lasted for several hours. Discover cards, the website, customer service line, this all went down about 2 p.m. Eastern time. What time was your little incident?
Oh, that would have been, my incident was at 4 p.m.
Yeah, so it started at 2 p.m. Eastern time, and it obviously was still going on. Discover responded to a customer on Twitter, and they said that they were experiencing sporadic technical difficulties. And then there was another social media thread that their technical difficulties were impacting a variety of functions. This was a company-wide Discover card problem. So if any of our listeners had issues with their Discover card yesterday, it wasn't you. You're not a deadbeat floozy, as far as I know. It was Discover, not you.
So I didn't tell you guys this part of the story, but I went to, I did end up calling them, you know, later in the day, like around 6 p.m. I called them. I'm like, yeah, my card got declined. And first they sounded like it was me. And then,
yeah, you're a deadbeat floozy.
Exactly. And then she's like, oh, wait. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a little issue, but try back in like 24 to 48 hours. But I go, yeah, I have credit. I have plenty of credit. She's like, yeah, you're fine. So anyways, my point is they sounded a little fishy, like a little like, whew, trying to cover something up.
I'm
like,
I don't know that the customer service person was up to speed on everything as it's happening.
But I mean, because listen, customer service, if they know there's a problem, and they did because they put it out on social media, but their employees at the customer service center, I don't know, maybe you got someplace in the Philippines or something. I don't know.
You got
Peggy. You know what?
She got Peggy from customer service.
Yeah, I love when you call overseas and they've got an accent you can barely understand them, and it's like, yes, my name is Sue. Yes, my name is Jenny.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, my name is Elizabeth.
So when I saw this yesterday, I chuckled.
Yeah,
I didn't know, Roxanne, you got the cake pop dilemma, which is horrific. But
you saw the Discover card technical issues that blocked all kinds of people yesterday,
and I was like, bop. This'll never happen to MJ. And I chuckled and I said it to you because I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
And every time I think of, or I hear of Discover Card, or I see a commercial for it, or I see a sign or an ad, I think, MJ will never have one of those.
I will never have a Discover Card. I do not have a Discover Card. I don't want a Discover Card. I'll never have one. And the reason why
is the grudge. The grudge.
It's the Discover grudge.
The grudge.
I have a grudge.
I mean, you want to talk about holding a grudge.
Holding a grudge since 1984, ladies and gentlemen.
Are we going on 40 years?
A grudge since Cyndi Lauper sang, Girls Just Wanna Have Fun.
Which I think is coming up next, by the way.
Yes.
So a 40-year grudge against a credit card company.
I was going to college. I had just graduated my senior year in high school. It was 1984. I was headed off to Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York. in fall of 84, and I applied for a Discover card because I'm a college kid. I need a credit card, right?
They're on campus, right? Right.
Well, a lot of times, well, this was before campus. Now, this is before, okay, all right. This is before I was on campus. So I wanted to go to college with a credit card. And I applied for a Discover card. And a couple of weeks later, I get an email saying, sorry.
Not an email.
Got a formal letter.
I got a piece of mail. I got a formal letter in the mail. Dear Todd Schnitt, we regret to inform you at this time. We will not be able to supply you with a Discover card. You know, essentially, I have no credit history.
You're a bum.
That's essentially what they said. They essentially said, you're going to be a total loser reject. You're going to run up a credit card bill, stiff us, not pay us. Nope, declined. So Discover sent me a note saying, hey, Todd, screw off. We're not giving you a card. And, well, at the same time, I had sent American Express an application. Guess what? I got my American Express card approved. A green American Express card, the entry-level card, and American Express gave it to me.
Good for you.
Discover said, screw you. So, guess what? To this day, I carry an American Express card. The color of my card is slightly different these days. I have a Visa and I have a MasterCard, but there is no Discover in my wallet, nor will there ever be a Discover because you know what? They didn't want to take a chance on me.
You don't even watch the Discovery Channel.
Dude, they took a chance on Roxanne and couldn't cover her cake pops.
Yeah, her cake pops at Starbucks yesterday.
Seriously, what flavor cake pops did you get?
Birthday cake, cookies and cream, and
sardine.
Oh, I hate so good. I hate cake.
So good.
So that's my deal with the Discover card. They can burn to the ground as far as I'm concerned.
Gosh,
grudge. That's a grudge since 1984.
Is that a threat?
Andrew, are we having computer issues today?
What are you experiencing?
I'm getting texts. You know, listeners send me texts all the time because Froggy gives out my number.
What is it?
The audio stream is repeating itself every 5 seconds. Somebody else said that the
trippy
that the YouTube channel is hiccuping. Is anything that you're aware of, Andrew?
Andrew, can you check our YouTube channel? Just bring it up and see if it's working. Do an exterior thing. Hey, maybe we're experiencing the same problems the Discover card had yesterday.
Got some glitches going on.
I want to know, as we shift gears here, I want to know if anyone is gonna do this. Did you see that AMC is now gonna charge you more money for better seats in the theater? They're going to like the airline model.
It's like a concert.
A concert, you know, a concert, that's a whole different model. But in a movie theater, I mean, sure, when you buy tickets online, you can get a reserved seat in a lot of cases. You buy your online tickets. But if the seat's not reserved, then listen, it's like first come, first serve where you want to sit. AMC movie theaters are now going to charge you extra to sit in the middle of the theater because the best place to sit, you want the triangle. The triangle is you want like an equilateral triangle. You take the width of the screen and whatever that width is, then you want to take the points out to the triangle. And then that you want to sit in the center.
How about I just go to a movie and not ruin my night with geometry?
Like the golden. Listen, you know what a
obtuse triangle or acute?
No, you want. Listen, you know where the good seat is in the theater. You want to sit in the middle of the movie theater, and you don't want to be too close. You don't want to be too far. That's like the golden triangle. Part.
Yeah, this nerd walks in with a protractor and a compass trying to find his own seat.
You can eyeball it. I'm not bringing in I'm not bringing one of those crash investigator wheelie tape measure deals. Exactly. But here's the story that broke yesterday, that AMC Theaters, which is the largest movie chain in the country, that they're going to introduce new pricing in which seat location is going to determine how much your ticket's going to cost. Is the movie industry really in a position to try to, you know, play Spirit Airlines with your movie theater seat?
I mean, yeah. If you're going to go anyway, They have different tiers of seating. I get it.
Seats in the middle of the auditorium will cost a dollar or two more, while seats in the front row will be cheaper. Yeah, the front row where you're all, your neck's all jacked up and you got to go visit a chiropractor.
The front row sucks.
You know, the next day.
Gives you a headache.
I have not been to a movie theater in a long time. Me because either. Stuff comes out fairly quickly. A lot of the stuff is already streaming. You've got the Netflix deal where they'll have it streaming and in the theater, or it's in the theater for a week and then they'll stream it.
No need to go.
I just haven't had a need. You know, any movie that is in the theaters only, it comes out quick enough. I wait a couple of months and it's, pay-per-view or streaming. I can watch it in my home theater. I haven't been to the movie theaters in a long, long time. And it seems like, they're putting up a further obstacle here where they're going to, charge you. They're going to nickel and dime you for a better seat. Is the movie going public? Are they going to put up with this?
For a buck or two, yeah, they absolutely are.
Well, you know what I always liked about going to the movies, and I don't go that often anymore, but you're in a dark theater with a bunch of strangers. It's kind of intimate, and you're all kind of in it together. You're all, like, laughing together. You're enjoying the movie together, even if you don't know each other. Now, this is just divisive, because now you've got the people who paid more, who think they're better than you, because you're in the front row.
It's going to start fights.
Yeah, it's really, this is
just... Because they paid for it. They're going to be like, listen, I paid for this seat, buddy. And then they're going to, there's going to be a shooting or something.
AMC said the pricing plan is going to be called Sightline. And it's already been rolled out in some locations. And by the end of the year, it'll be in all U.S. AMC matinee. If you want to go to an early show, then I guess there's not going to be an upcharge for a decent seat. But if you want a good seat, buck or two more.
I mean, who goes to a movie before 4 p.m.? Just old people.
I can't remember the last movie I went to, honestly. What was that weird one with Leonardo DiCaprio where, like, it was a world?
The Great Gatsby?
No.
What?
It was, the world changed. Oh. It was some sort of weird Leo movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Inception?
Inception.
Inception. That's the last movie I saw.
That's a while ago.
Yeah. I just don't care about theaters.
I just don't know they're trying to come up with, increased revenue models, but is this more of a repellent?
Inception theaters.
I just don't know if, I mean, they're trying to come up with, increased revenue models, but is this more of a repellent?
Inception came out in 2010.
Hold on. Are you serious?
I think that was one of the first movies Doug and I saw.
Hold on. 13 years ago was the last time you were in the movie theater? You haven't taken your kids to see, like, Gru or something?
No. No, I don't do movie theaters. They freak me out.
Wow.
I feel like I'm being held captive.
Funny you say that. I thought of you. You know they have a Super Mario Brothers movie coming out, like, in April.
Okay, I'm down for that.
I don't want to pay extra for my seat, though, but I'll go.
There is a social media uncomfortableness. Have you guys heard of deep likes?
I've heard of it.
Sounds a little salacious.
Well, here's the deal. This is a social media. I don't know if it's a faux pas or apparently if you're a deep liker.
You really like it. How do you show that?
If you're a deep liker, that this could creep people out. Do you know what a deep liker is?
I did it to a friend of mine.
All right, well, Fessa, I don't even know if you know what this is.
Yeah.
All right, what is a deep liker?
When Instagram, I'm not on Instagram as active as you or anybody else here, but when my friend showed me a girl on his Instagram page, and I'm scrolling and looking at all of her pictures, and I guess if you double tap a screen, you like it.
Yeah, it illuminates the heart.
And you accidentally like something.
I'm not an Instagram guy, and I'm on his phone, and I didn't know that if I double touched the phone, that I was going to send a like.
Oh yeah.
And I'm looking at this girl's photo on my friend's Instagram account from like 6 years ago.
There you go.
And she gets a message that my friend suddenly likes a photo from 2015, he's like, "What the hell are you doing, dude? Unlike that." I was like, "What? What did I do?" He's like, "Dude, this girl's going to think I'm a creep going into her.
Scroll,
and I'm the one scrolling.
Scroll.
You know,
you're back 6 years and you're liking a bikini photo.
She's not like some club that closed in 2018. You know? The person she with is dead. I don't know, but it's an old, old photo.
I was at the Crush in downtown Tampa.
Yeah. The club Stingers.
So, you know,
Stingers.
He flipped out on me. He's like, dude, give back my phone, Chuck.
Oh, you were holding his phone.
Dude, what part did you miss?
You clicked all kinds of stuff.
Fester's deep liking stuff from 6 years ago.
I walked up to him.
You should have messaged her. What's up?
He's looking at this girl on his phone. I was like, hey, who's that? He goes, oh, look at her. Look at her. So I'm, he goes, scroll back.
Hey, she was gorgeous. You should have sent the message. Hey, are you still as cute as you were in this picture 6 years ago? Or have you let yourself go?
No, because I saw the current photos, and that's what started me on the chain. And she was a 10. She's a beautiful woman.
I've always loved you. Message sent.
My friend is like, he goes, you double touched the screen. I sent like the heart on the screen. Yep. And I was like, sorry, man.
So he told you deep liked?
Well, then I found out that's what that is. Yeah. And it's more creepy than anything.
Deep likes are creepy, or at least some people. Should we go to phones on deep likes? Or is this too esoteric?
I like it.
I think this is like a female like only thing. I would love for somebody to like a photo.
Let's go to the deep like female phones right now.
Seriously.
Have you been, now I'm not talking about deep French kissing here. I'm talking about deep, I'm talking about deep likes. All right. 800-990-1047. So if you know what we're talking about, have you had somebody on your social media obviously go way back and start liking stuff? And you're like, oh boy, this is a little stalkerish. This is a little creepy. I mean, the stuff does exist. But
I see it. It happens to me when people new friend me or new follow me. And then you'll see them like go back to all your old stuff and give you like all of a sudden you'll have like 50 new likes. And it'll be because someone deep liked you because they just friended you.
All right, let me give out the phone number here. I don't know what kind of phone response this is going to elicit. Well, the phone's already ringing. I haven't given out the phone number. 800-990-1047. That's how you join us. If you want to weigh in on deep likes, somebody liking your stuff from a long time ago, does this creep you out? Do you have any stories about deep likes? Or maybe you did deep like somebody, and what happened? 800-990-1047. Give us a buzz. This is like social media quicksand here on deep liking. 800-990-1047. If you've got a story to tell, 800-990-1047.
I just kind of put it together like deep. I get it now. Like I'm deep down in your feed, baby. I'm like 100 squares down in your IG. Deep.
Oh, is that what it is, Rox?
Yeah,
thanks. Just put it together. Huh?
Give us some more sexy deep like talk, would you please?
I'm deep in you.
Yeah, like you're a phone sex operator or something.
Hi, I'm Roxanne. I'm a deep like. That's a husky voice.
Hi, this is Large Marge.
This penis guy.
All right, Melissa's in Indian Rocks. Hey, Melissa, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I get the deep likes all the time, and it is super creepy. And in addition to the deep likes, then you get, you know, they like 50 or 60 of your pictures at a time.
Oh.
Super, super creepy.
Yeah, that's what Roxanne was saying. You know, you get somebody new in your feed, and they go back, and, oh, there she is at, like, the Super Bowl in 2009. Click.
It's a massive volume, an influx of deep likes.
Yeah, just like Froggy said, you know, you're in a picture with somebody that's passed away. I had somebody like a picture with me and my cat that passed away like 6 years ago. Aww. It's just so weird. Like how, and that was like 2012. You went that deep in my folders. It's in my files. It's so weird.
And the person that deep liked you, did you know them or was it somebody that was anonymous?
No, I don't know them. Yeah. And then, Facebook made my thing, you know, like where they give you this content creator thing and it made my Instagram all open to everything. Yep. And now you just get people. I'm so weirded out sometimes, like pictures of me in my bathing suit, pictures where it's just like I live in Florida.
But listen, if you've got public accounts that are not private, I mean, people are going to take a look at them. Melissa, thanks.
I want to see your IG.
Do us a favor. Yeah, email us your IG. I want to see your bathing suit pictures.
Send us a link.
I'm going to deep like them. All right, thanks, Melissa. Oh, man, look who's on the phone. Where the hell have you? Hey, D-Flex, where have you been?
Hey, what's going on, MJ? How you guys doing, though?
Dude, D-Flex, it's been a year since you've called us. Where have you been?
Yeah, a little bit of here, a little bit of there, you know, going through it, you know.
Okay.
man, did you ever hear that I was saying, like, months ago, hey, whatever happened to D-Flex?
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine at the gym. He told me, he goes, they were asking for you. I was like, oh, shoot, man. I wanted to call back, but... Again, I have some peas going on. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Great. I love when I ask D-Flex, what do you do? It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
You know.
So, hey, D-Flex, I'll tell you what. Listen, when I'm done with you, I'm going to put you on hold. I want Andrew, our producer, to get your phone number because I got to check in with D-Flex on certain things from time to time, okay?
Hey, that's what's up, man. I'm good for it.
All right. So don't hang up. When I'm done, don't hang up. Andrew's going to get your phone number confidentially so I can give you a call on certain things because I need a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
You know I got you, man.
I know. All right. So, D-Flex, where are you on deep likes?
Okay. I'm suspect on this because...
Did you say you're suspect on this?
Yeah. It's just because I'm looking at a profile, and you're looking at it, and then you kind of got to get into it and see if you like the person you want to follow. You know what I mean? You're going in there, and you're like, hey, this person's cool, and you're going down the line, and as you're going down the line, you finally, you know, you say, hey, I decided I like this person. I'm going to keep following them. And accidentally or purposely hit the little double tap back, and, you know, give a little heart.
Yeah, and that's what got me with my friend's Instagram. You're right, D-Flex.
So did they ever get back to you? Did they ever say, you know, you're creeping on me? Did it ever backfire on you?
I think I got blocked, probably.
Hey, D-Flex, I'm glad you're okay, man.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right, D-Flex.
I'm glad to hear you guys back on the radio.
Oh, yeah, listen, it's been over 2 years now we've been back. All right, D-Flex, hang on. I'm going to put you on hold, and my producer's going to get your number off the air so we can call you every once in a while, okay?
Hey, awesome, man. Thanks for calling, man. Thank you.
Yeah, all right, hold on.
Awesome. You called us.
All right, pick up D-Flex on 5. Man, that
I don't remember that.
Well,
who is that?
I had a buddy of mine, Mark, who's a surgeon. Mark, like a year and a half ago, heard a phone call with D-Flex, and it was just hysterical. And Mark texted me and said, I'm on the way to TGH. I got, you know, surgery coming up. And I just was introduced to D-Flex. And he said, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. So I'm like, I was waiting for D-Flex to call back. D-Flex hasn't called back. I'm like, what happened to this guy? You know, I'm like, yeah, and somehow it came up. What do you do for a living? He's like, yeah, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I didn't know whether D-Flex was still alive. You know?
I'm glad he is.
Why wasn't his last call as entertaining as that first one?
Guys, I think we're getting some, at least one person. Oh, no. Now make that two.
What's that?
Who are deep liking our stuff right now.
That's fine. We're at radio. I want you to go back in our files and like stuff.
Victor's in Newport Richey. Hey, Victor, you're on the MJ Morning Show.
Good morning. How we doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I had a work colleague that had sent me a friend request on Facebook, and I accepted it, thinking nothing of it, right? About, I don't know, 2 weeks later, I saw this picture on her page that was one of my pictures. It was a picture of my back tattoo I have a back tattoo of a dog, and she just, like, saved the picture on her profile. I felt totally freaked out. I was like, whoa, why the hell would you do that?
And what was the answer?
What?
I never asked her. I felt weird about it, and I said, I think I'm not going to make the situation any worse than what it is. And I just kind of left it alone, but I just kind of felt like I felt really weird about it.
What is your back tattoo of, sir?
A dog.
What kind of dog?
My back tattoo is of a Doberman Pinscher, like, tearing out of me.
Oh, wow.
Sounds painful.
That's awful,
and
sir.
And it takes up my full back. So,
she's
a dog lover, and I figured that's why she liked it, because she's a dog lover.
Is it a male Dobie or is it a bitch?
Oh, no, it's a male Dobie.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Ears cropped, tail docked?
All of it, yeah.
I just checking. Sir, yeah, I grew up with Dobies. They were great, great dogs.
MJ, would you get a tattoo of a Doberman scratching through your back?
I've got tattoos of Jack Russell Terriers now on the back of my back.
Sounds like the most horrific tattoo ever, Victor.
Victor, thanks. All right. Oh, one more call here. Look at this. Sardo's coming by. Hey, Sardo.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Froggy, it's your favorite Chooch guy here.
Hey, what's up, you Chooch?
I hear all these people telling me you're using my lines over there. What's the story?
Hey, listen, it's a good word. It's a Chooch, huh?
You never heard Chooch?
It's Santo Sardo from Sardo's Pizza on Ulmerton and Largo. You know, remember, I commented a couple of weeks back about this great New York slice that I had. And I guess, Sardo, you're sending more food over this morning, huh?
Listen, I have to say it again. I said it when I was there, and I'll say it again. I was wrong. Radio does exist. You're a very popular man. You and your whole crew, they're coming in here and they're driving from Land O'Lakes. You know, they're driving from Tampa. I mean, I felt an obligation to make you some fresh cannolis this morning, some homemade bread, Italian cold cut sandwiches, and of course, I've seen you eat a pizza, so I know I got to give you a pizza.
You know, Sardo, radio was invented by an Italian.
Yeah, Marconi.
Marconi.
Okay.
All right, you get in here, you Chooch.
Okay. I'm trying to be like Fonzarelli. I'm admitting.
Listen, the bottom line here is what Sardo is saying, that, listen, I just organically mentioned that I had a great slice of pizza. Listen, the audience that has listened to me for years knows that I'm a pizza nut. I'm a pizza snob. I only find about 3 to 5% of pizza even acceptable in my universe to even remotely enjoy. And I had a listener back in October say, you got to try Sardo's Pizza on Ulmerton. You know, he's from Brooklyn. It's a Brooklyn slice. I'm like, yeah, I've heard this before. And then I get to a place and, you know, I didn't like the pizza. I go to Sardo's place and I told the story on the air. I can just look if you've got pizza displayed. And that's the sign of a real pizza shop, when they got the pizza in the cases. And when I look at a pie, 99.9% of the time, all I got to do is look at a pizza pie, and I can tell you if it's even in the game. And I looked at his pizza. I'm like, all right, this is in the game.
It's in the game.
And then I tasted the pizza. I'm like, yeah, this is good. This is good stuff. And then
I know what I got to say? I got to say thank God I wasn't here when you were here. Because if you would have stared at my pizza and done to me what a lot of people do, they ask me a wonderful question. Hey, is this pizza any good? And I answer, tastes like crap. That's why I've been here for 35 years. You know, the difference is I care. I care about what I do. So I have, it's not arrogance. It's confidence in my product. That's all it is.
Well, who's coming over, and are they going to come to the front door? Where are they going?
Look at you, panicking already. You're hungry.
Yeah, you can hear his voice, right?
You're hungry. Oh, my God. It sounds, when I was there, I got a little nervous because as soon as I got there, he didn't even make eye contact with me. He took the pizza box out of my hands and started eating.
That's it.
That's me.
All right. Sorry, now who's coming? What time can we expect him?
He's leaving here at 8:30, and he'll be there before 9, and his name is Brian.
Wow.
And, hey, can you do me a favor? My beautiful son, Santo, and my beautiful daughter, Stella, wanted to say hello. Can you say hello to Santo and Stella right now, busting their butts?
Yeah, put them on the phone. I'll say hi to them.
Santo, Stella, Stella. You got to say it like me.
Stella.
Say hello to the man that's been bringing us to business.
Hey, how you doing, Stella?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, Stella, you're probably the one that sold me the pizza slice when I came in on a Saturday about 4 weeks ago.
Now that I took my break, Saturdays I work all day, so that's right on my break when you came in here.
Oh, okay. Maybe it wasn't.
Right,
maybe
not. Yeah.
Anyway, hey, Stella.
My brother.
Nice to meet you. I like your Pop's Pizza.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, have a great day.
Hey, Stella, you know, this guy here is going to pay for your confirmation dinner. You know that, right?
All right. Hey, Sardo, thanks for sending stuff over, man.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon, man. Anyway, it's Sardo's Pizza. It's on Ulmerton and Largo. It's right across from the big sheriff's office building in Largo. And that's just an example. We blew the guy's place up. I mean, he already has a big fan base, but they're driving from all over the place.
New people are hearing about it.
I mentioned it on the radio, and the guy has lines out the door. To any potential advertisers, listen, there's a reason why, two college brothers added commercials. You know, because we are so effective in doing, like, my live spots are so effective for our clients that they love what we do. And that's just an example that I mention a pizza shop, and boom, the guy's got lines out the door.
Did you hear Wade from Two College Brothers?
Yeah.
They hired another college brother. Like three college brothers. Now. They're going to change the whole thing.
117 college brothers. Exactly. So, that, listen, it's a great story. It's a local business. He's got a great slice. And boom, you know, blew the business up even more than, you know, what he has already. All right, Roxanne, what do you make out of Tom Brady's crotch shot in the underwear? Are we to read anything into this? Is this like a cry for help? Is this trying to, what, attract women stalkers? What's going on here?
First of all, let's just say that social media in general sort of draws people's mental deficiencies and psychological issues out into the open. And Tom appears to be just like the rest of us, just wanting to do like a little thirsty trap picture.
Yeah, so it's a not thirsty trap, it's a thirst trap.
I say thirsty.
Yeah, it's a thirst trap.
Yeah.
It's not thirsty trap, it's a thirst trap.
It's very
you need.
It's a parched picture.
Yeah.
Very thirsty.
Now, Tom Brady, he tweeted this out. This went out on social media like 2 minutes after we ended the show yesterday. If you look at the timestamp, it was like 9:46 a.m. is when he tweeted this thing out. We went off the air at like 9:44. We shut things down, said, all right, see you tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And then 2 minutes later, Tom Brady puts out this picture, and he's in underwear. Now,
God, what a creep.
Now, what's the story? Is he like,
I think
he, is he promoting a friend's, what is it? Is that his brand?
It's his brand, right? I'm sure he's getting paid somehow with this post, right?
Yeah. Former Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback posted an Instagram. Oh, is it Instagram? I saw it on Twitter as well. So he must have posted it everywhere.
He posted it on all
over. Who's the other guy? And
the Twitter feed is 9:49. All right. So 5 minutes after the show ended yesterday, Tom Brady posted this. Let me see the Instagram.
I was looking at it yesterday on my phone and my daughter saw me.
Yeah.
And
it's a selfie of him in his underwear, mm-hmm. and he wrote, "Did I do this right?" That was his caption, and then he tagged
a couple of old ball players,
Julian Edelman right? from mm-hmm. the Patriots and Rob Gronkowski, formerly Patriots, then Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now retired, now doing Subway commercials and Fox analysis. But if you look at the picture, Tom is where did he take the picture?
That's a hell of a view.
I guess is that his condo at Surfside?
Must be. I'm sure. Like where else is he going to sit around in his underwear?
Yeah, so he's in his underwear. He's sitting on his bed. But what do you make out of his hand placed?
That's in
his crotch. His hand is like blocking.
Feels good.
His junk.
No, it's like covering up. Like I have like a karate chop hand. Is like covering up a whole.
It's the same pose as all of them are doing.
No, but it looks like he. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But Tom Brady's hand is like. So you don't have a full on view of his crotch. He's blocking the the family jewels area with his hand.
Why do his legs look so dirty?
I mean, you step in the shower, Tom.
You know, when you put a photo up like that, it's just something everybody has to remember.
No, you know what? It does. It looks like he's got coal soot on his...
it's just the shadow.
Is it the lighting?
No,
it looks like he was waiting in a coal bin.
You know what this is, MJ?
On an old steam train. Yeah, MJ,
This is an NFL football player who wears pants that come up to their knees and their calves get really tan.
You're so right. And the feet are white.
But look at his feet. His feet are white.
Yeah, look at his hook toe.
I remember when I played high school football and I played terribly. We always had tan calves because we played in the sun, and you had white feet because that's where your sock came to. So he has football player legs.
Dude, looks like he's been wade fishing in mud. Been crabbing? Did he go crabbing?
With flippers on.
Would somebody tell me it's what Brady brand? Is this? Yeah. Is he trying to sell his underwear? Is that it?
Of course.
There it is. Oh, so you click on Brady brand, and it's the Brady boxer brief. So that's what he was wearing.
Yeah.
All right, the Brady boxer brief. Hold on, don't touch anything, Fester. The perfect natural feeling underwear. Wear them once and you'll make the switch forever. A cotton bonnet that maintains, where does it pick up?
I don't know. It's guess how much they are.
Oh, that maintains its shape, wash after wash, built with a darted, molded pouch. for maximum comfort.
A moldy pouch?
Wait, molded.
Oh, it has like an area for your wiener to breathe.
I got darts poking into my wiener? What's going on here? I got a moldy darted wiener. I got the darted molded pouch to have your junk there for maximum comfort. Our considered fit and shape enhancing design means you'll always look and feel your best. All right, so how much is this?
$20 a pair.
It looks like woman parts.
You can buy five for $85 if you bundle and save. And he has a bunch of different colors.
Colors are like a red.
And he has a bunch of
ink, blue, looks like a gray. But enhancing design means you'll always look and feel your best. All right, so how much is this?
$20 a pair.
It looks like woman parts.
You can buy five for $85 if you bundle and save. And he has a bunch of different colors.
Colors are like a red.
And he has a bunch of
ink, blue, looks like a gray.
Bunch of beautiful male models there. Yeah. Sporting them.
Okay.
There you go. So that's why he posted it, because he's selling the freaking underwear.
Do you not think these men on the Brady Brand side are beautiful? Are you not secure enough to say that men are beautiful for
him? But wait a minute. Was Tom beautiful? Hang on.
What?
Was Tom uncomfortable with the presentation of his stuff? Did he put his hand there because he's sensitive about his Tom Brady junk?
Maybe he's just trying to like be modest. In his underwear.
That's where, with that expanded pouch, he could hide his 7 Super Bowl rings.
But the picture that he displayed of him in the underwear on the bed, he's totally brunch area. Yeah.
He may have 7 rings, but I heard he's only working with 3 in the pants.
Are we stopping?
You know what I'm saying? Micropenis.
Froggy, stop. Don't say Tom Brady has micropenis. Stop it.
Well, listen, he seems very shy about it.
He does. That's what I'm pointing out, that his hand is blocking his crotch.
He's like, keep your eyes on my dirty legs.
Well, that's what I did with my daughter yesterday, because she was looking over my shoulder and I saw it on Instagram or wherever I saw it. And then she's like, oh, look, he doesn't have any clothes on, and she wanted to see it. And so then I enlarged it, just made his feet really big, so he stared at his feet for a little bit.
Ugh.
But that's what people do when you put yourself out there. They look at everything that you post.
And speaking of Tom Brady, we played this very early this morning. People wondering, hey, when is Tom Brady going to join Fox? When is he going to be on? This is the NFL on Fox and the MJ Morning Show. So when is that going to happen? And I guess we got the answer. He's not going to start this fall. You'd think that he would be in the broadcast booth, or he's going to be an analyst on Fox beginning this fall. No, 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 no. He's going to wait until the following fall. So it's not going to be fall 23 that Tom Brady is going to join Fox. That purported 10-year deal and what, $275 million, which means he will make more. If he fulfills his Fox deal, he'll make more with Fox than he made in all 23 seasons of football as a quarterback.
That's right.
I mean, did he audition, or is he going to take the year to practice? I mean, is he good? Do we know?
Well, I don't see and hear major personality. So
no, but he's going to train to do this. He's going to get good. He's
going to be
talking about what he's an expert in.
Is that what he's doing for the year, practicing?
Well, here's audio of him yesterday on, was this the Jim Gray podcast? Oh, no, this was Colin Cowherd.
Let's better be good.
Yeah, Colin Cowherd. This is where Brady says, yeah, he's essentially going to take a year off before he goes to Fox.
For me, I want to be great at what I do. And even, you know, talking even last week with the people at Fox Sports, you know, and the leadership there allowing me to start, you know, my Fox opportunity in the fall of 2024 is something that's great for me. So take some time to really learn, become great.
Oh, is he saying that he's going to take some time to get a personality to be able to do, like, broadcasting?
Right, listen,
is he going to get coached? Are they going to hire, like, a whole bunch of talent coaches for him?
He doesn't need a ton of personality. He's very conversational in all the interviews he does. And he has more knowledge than almost anybody. He'll be fine. He just has to be a little bit more of a broadcaster.
Yeah, just a little bit more charismatic, you know?
Let me hear what he said. Listen.
For me, I want to be great at what I do. And even, you know, talking even last week with the people at Fox Sports, you know, and the leadership there allowing me to start, you know, my Fox opportunity in the fall of 2024 is something that's great for me. So take some time to really learn, become great at what I want to do, become great at you know, thinking about the opportunity and making sure I don't rush into anything. And I think when people really bet on me, I think one thing about my career, whether it was when I was drafted by the Patriots or signing free agency with the Bucks, I wanted to be, you know, fully committed. And I never wanted to let people down. I think my biggest motivator was that. So, you know, even in the future, I want to be great at what I do. And that always takes some time and strategy.
Hey, Tom, why are you shielding your ween, as Froggy would put it? Why are you shielding that in the underwear picture?
I'm great.
And learning and growing and evolving. And I have so many
and learning and growing. Oh, my God. Well, there you go. That's why he's blocking. He's learning and growing.
But to rely on that. Can support me in that growth too. So
babbling, Tom.
It's going to be a great opportunity for me to take some time to really certainly become at my Fox broadcasting job, which I'm really looking forward to, but also catching up on other parts of my life that need some time and energy.
You know, since we're speaking about football, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, look at how hard he worked at football. Don't you think he's going to work equally hard at this next chapter in his life?
Do we need the word hard twice?
I think it's a little different.
Are you trying to add innuendo here?
Here we are, you know, underwear picture.
Look at Roxanne with the filthy, dirty mind over here, you know?
Kids listen to this show, Roxanne. Yeah,
this is a family program.
Describing his work ethic.
Speaking of football and speaking of the NFL on Fox, did you see Terry Bradshaw? He was interviewed by Chris Wallace on that, was it Look Who's Talking or whatever it is? Chris Wallace actually interviews some pretty good people. And Terry Bradshaw this past weekend was one of the interviewees. And I thought that this was really telling that Terry Bradshaw, you know, he's kind of been pegged as like the doofus, like the goofball.
A little bit of a goofball.
Yeah.
And he puts himself in that light. Sometimes very willingly.
Yeah, he has like mental issues though, doesn't he?
I think he's getting
I don't think he has mental issues.
I think he's starting to get a little old for what he's doing, but Terry Bradshaw has always been a funny guy. I've always liked him. And he's always been kind of like a Louisiana hillbilly kind of goofball. But
listen to one of the questions, and I thought this was very revealing. I thought that this was a real opening up of his soul when Chris Wallace asked him.
You had to deal, Terry, with another issue. When you were playing, and this was the rap that you were, forgive me, dumb. And Hollywood Henderson famously said, you know, he couldn't spell cat if he was spotted a C and an A. Did that talk get to you? Did it get under your skin?
So that's the question.
Okay.
And then
I've taken that image and had some fun with it. Yeah, I'm kind of, as you know, Chris, I like to have fun in interviews. I like to entertain people. If it's at my expense, I'm fine with it. But there are times, even at Fox, when it's Terry's always, you know, the goofball. And there are times where I don't say anything, but I do say to myself, enough.
Well, I can relate, Terry.
And, you know, he gets into the fact that, yeah, the being called dumb or thinking that he's dumb, it does get to him.
Yes. Right? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The dumb image, I have yet to figure out. A lot of interceptions my rookie year, but my rookie interception record initially was broken by Peyton Manning, considered one of the smartest quarterbacks. I threw 25, he threw 28.
No, but, you know, he says, yeah, does the dumb image get to you? And he says, yeah, it does.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe you should listen to Terry's words sometimes.
You think of Terry, I mean, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. He's four Super Bowl victories.
Right, but, I mean, that, I think, is really, like, personal. And I think that's a side of Terry Bradshaw that we haven't seen because he's always kind of like the jovial, you know, he's like the butt of the joke sometimes. Yeah. And Chris Wallace asks him, you know, does the whole dumb thing, does it actually get to you? And he answered,
yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I do get upset by the dumb image. I don't like it being brought up. And I think probably some of my anger and frustration with it is I didn't get enough support. I didn't feel like, personally, I didn't get enough support from Pittsburgh.
You know, I guess I have a new, this late time in his career, I guess maybe I have a new appreciation for Terry Bradshaw. I feel a little bad for him. Listen, I feel bad for him.
He took this shtick to the bank for 30 years.
It's a shtick.
He's made a successful career out of being the goofball on the Fox Morning, and he has good points, and he knows his football, and great. And now he's like, oh, my feelings are hurt.
Yeah, he's dumbing himself all the way to the bank.
Right.
But I kind of have a different view. Like, if you're being made fun of for being dumb, but you're really smart and you know you're really smart, then you don't care. But the fact that he does care,
makes
maybe he is
dumb.
Really dumb.
Wait. I think I'm too dumb to figure out that.
I heard this time Terry went in front of the team. He goes, I are not dumb.
Can you send that to me in writing, please, Roxanne?
It makes perfect sense if you listen to all the words.
There's an awesome clip on YouTube of they're outside the stadium of an old Pittsburgh Steelers game in the 70s. And they're talking to the security guard. The security guard goes, here comes Terry Bradshaw right now. And he pulls up in the biggest piece of junk truck.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, good to see you, Terry.
All right. He went to some small school in Louisiana.
He's just a hillbilly.
Do you know who the quarterback was before Terry Bradshaw at his school, MJ?
I have no idea.
Duck Dynasty guy.
No, it wasn't.
That's like the
Phil Robinson.
Get out of here. The guy with the big beard. Yeah, I think so.
Moving along. Have you guys ever...
I want to.
All right, Roxanne, what do you think a tub condom is?
Well, I'm very visual, so I just immediately pictured a condom shaped like a bathtub.
Why would you need a tub condom?
Okay, so you're going to put it over the tub. Oh,
like for hotels and stuff?
Yeah. Maybe. There you go.
Airbnbs?
Is that your final answer?
I never thought
of a tub.
That is correct. That's right.
I never thought of the word tub condom until you just said it, but that makes
sense. At first I was picturing condom shaped like tubs, but then when you slide it over the tub, you realize you could sit in there and not get the germs from the person who was in there using it before you.
Or pregnant.
The tubs can be filthy inside hotels, motels, and apparently the tubs can be filthy inside hotels, motels, and apparently this is a thing. Some people warn travelers, and this has been a social media deal recently, that before you take a bath, first of all, who's taking a bath in a hotel tub?
Oh, dude, you get me in one of those jet tubs.
Hold on. If it's a nice hotel, if it's a 4-star hotel or a 5-star hotel, and you've got like a really nice jacuzzi bath and a big tub, I still think it makes sense. There are people that are absolute germaphobes that will scrub the bathtub in the hotel room before they actually get in it. I have never taken a bath in a hotel. I have always taken a shower. But even then, if you stand up in many cases, hotels have the bathtub with the shower. Some are just showers without the bathtub. But the bathtub condom.
I have to tell you something before you tell us.
Yeah.
I'm a little kooky, but I don't do it for myself, but with my girls. And it's not like we're staying at, 1-star motels. But I always just put a towel down in the tub while they stand and shower. And I let them stand on the towel in the tub.
You don't want the athlete's foot.
You're along the same lines as the bathtub condom. But some people are talking about they travel with bleach. they bleach the tub before they get into it. Others talk about a bathtub liner or a tub condom. And they'll actually have like a plastic bag type material that they'll put down over the tub surface. And that's a tub condom.
Wow.
And according to Philip Tierno, who's a microbiologist, even if the tub looks clean in your hotel or motel.
Oh, it's not.
He says there's most likely a hidden layer of germs called biofilm.
Yeah, sure.
On the surface.
It's good for you.
That dead skin particles from the billion people that have been there before you.
Biofilm is a nearly undetectable layer of bacteria that sticks to tubs and other surfaces.
Ugh.
Yeah, but the tub condom, these are people that will travel with plastic sheeting. They'll put the plastic sheet. It's like a like a painter's drop cloth, but not cool, but like a plastic, like this queen like or something. Queen. Yeah. Right. So there are some people that travel with the plastic this queen, and they make a bathtub condom so they can take the bath and lay in with the protective surface, or even stand there if you're using the shower.
Yeah, but how do you empty it?
You just cut it at the end.
Oh, I guess you have to cut it.
Poke a hole, or you just pull it out.
It could come with one hole over the drain.
No, this is not like a prefab deal. No, people are bringing plastic sheets. They're making
shower
their own
curtains.
They're making their own.
It's like you make your own pool.
Yeah.
And then you cut it at the end and drain it.
Right. And hey, you just said shower curtains. How filthy are those shower curtains? I mean, those got to be nasty.
I give them a good lick every time I
walk
in. Oh,
my God.
See.
No, you don't lick the shower curtains. That is absolutely disgusting.
There's only a matter of time before somebody kills themselves in one of these tub condom incidents.
Suffocating?
Yes.
Suffocating. I can imagine what could go wrong.
Like somebody gets stuck underneath of it.
Trying to get up.
It's like you're falling through the ice, like up in Minnesota or something.
Exactly. It's just on top of you. You can't get out. I don't see that going well.
Oh, yeah. It's another tub condom death.
Tub condom incident. Lou.
Roxanne, you really you sent me an item. Are you really concerned about companies spying on workers' brainwaves?
Very.
I mean, not around here.
Hang on a minute. Is your company spying on your brainwaves? Are you going to explain this to us, Roxanne?
Yeah, it's a concern.
Hang on. Also, Madonna's face is still being talked about everywhere. People are still trying to figure out. That's why the Grammy ratings were up, is because people were calling people and said, hey, turn on the Grammys right now. You got to see Madonna's face. We have no idea who the hell this is. That and a whole lot more in Roxanne's brainwaves next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105. It is 8:55. Little Pat Benatar. Is she still not doing Hit Me With Your Best Shot? Is she sticking with that, or what's the story there?
I haven't heard anything different. I heard she was not going to sing it anymore.
I mean, come on. You know, if you don't know the deal with Pat Benatar, with one of the last terrible school shootings, and listen, they're awful, they're horrific, and Pat Benatar, after one of the school shootings last year, she said, and I'm never, it was either a school shooting or it was one of the like supermarket deal. It was one of the shootings last year that happened somewhere in the country. And Pat Benatar came out and said, I'm never going to sing Hit Me With Your Best Shot ever again. It's like her biggest song.
Sounds like an excuse for her to stop singing one of the songs she's tired of singing.
Listen, any kind of mass shooting is horrific. And typically we're dealing with mentally, that's the real theme, is mentally ill individuals that are doing these. But for Pat Benatar to then associate Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Fire Away, that what?
So over the summer she came out and said it's out of respect for families impacted by gun violence.
The Grammy award-winning singer spoke to USA Today, this was last summer, about her refusal to play Hit Me With Your Best Shot out of respect for families impacted by gun violence. I can't say those words out loud with a smile on my face. I just can't. This was an interview back in July. So, hang on. Andrew, our producer, is raising his hand like he's in fourth grade. Yes, Andrew?
Well, it's the only way you'll come to me. On February 4th, she performed at Riverside Park in Unison Amphitheater in New Zealand.
Okay.
And she did not have it on her set list there.
Wow.
So, Pat Benatar is one of those take-it-or-leave-it concerts. Like, if she was in concert, I'd be like, okay, I'll go. Or not. I don't care. But if she's not going to sing her best song, no thanks.
Pat. Hit Me With Your Best Shot is I would guess her biggest, most recognized, bring up Pat Benatar songs. Just go to Google, type in Pat Benatar songs. And let's see. You're a heartbreaker. Don't hit it yet. Hold on one sec. So you're a heartbreaker dream. All right. So Heartbreaker. That's a big song too. We Belong. We just played. Oh, Shadows in the Night. That's a good song.
Love is a Battlefield.
Oh, Love is a Battlefield. What about the Ooh Ooh song? Is that not on here? I mean, you guys don't know the Ooh Ooh song?
No, what's that?
Ooh. Oh, that was a big Paola Stiff record back in 1984 where palms were greased to play that sucker, I'll tell you right now. Let's see. So, Invincible. No, those are the biggies, but hit me with your best shot. Roll it, Andrew. Hit it. So, Pat Benatar won't sing it. Have we pulled it off the Q105 playlist? I don't think so. I think we still play this. I mean, this is like a number one record, wasn't it? I think it, or close to it. Pat Benatar on Q105. This peaked at number 9? Get out of here. Come on, this was only number 9?
This is a good year for music. What?
You never heard the Ooh Ooh song? All right, go to YouTube.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, go to YouTube and bring up, Fester's got it here. All right, go ahead and play that. Is there a commercial first?
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Hit play. Get it going.
Gosh.
Go. I got it from here. Fester, you are the slowest on a computer.
It's a computer. It's a computer.
All right, here we go.
Here it is.
You never heard this? This was like 1985 or 86.
Ew.
Yeah, this was Pat Benatar. I actually like this song. It did not do well on the charts. You got to get to the hook. None of you have heard Pat Benatar, the Ooh Ooh song? Roxanne, you ever heard this?
No, never heard it.
Fester?
I don't think so.
Froggy?
Never.
Andrew, you're a geek and a half. You've never heard this?
MJ?
I've heard of it. I've never listened to it.
Here we go. Here's a little...
Sucks. I love it.
All right, so that's the Ooh song. Ugh. Oh, Andrew's flipping Casey Kasem in there, telling me that she's never had a number one song. Is that true?
Not on the Billboard Hot 100, no.
How the hell? What about Cashbox?
What about
R&R? What if
mainstream, she's hit number one, but not pop.
Did she do I Need a Hero?
No, that's...
What? Doing what?
I need a hero.
No, holding out for a hero.
That's
Bonnie Tyler.
Oh.
That was from the Footloose soundtrack. Holding out for a hero.
No, I Need a Hero is Pat Benatar. Right?
What are you talking about? So I don't know what you're talking about.
I need a hero. I'm holding out for a... Maybe not.
Roxanne, you sent me an item about globalists... Davos conspiracies and companies spying on workers through their brain waves.
Yeah, this isn't a conspiracy. This is actually a presentation that was given at the World Economic Forum, which is where all the nerds who rule the world go to talk about controlling us.
Where all the elites go, and they're all up in arms about the global warming and climate change. But then they all fly in on private jets. Yeah.
Yeah, those people.
And you got 700 private jets sitting at the airport outside of Davos.
Okay, there was an actual presentation given.
Yep.
And the speaker, so it was called, Are You Ready for Brain Transparency? So the speaker explained how brainwave data is collected by your employer.
How
by
do they do that?
Earpods.
Hold on.
They put little earpods in you. You're required to wear them. This is the way the technology works, okay?
Yeah.
And then they're able to take this data. You can tell, this is a quote, you can not only tell whether a person is paying attention or their mind is wandering, but you can discriminate between the kinds of things they're paying attention to, like doing central tasks or doing unrelated tasks like surfing or social media or online web browsing.
What about having sex with Cindy in the cubicle next door?
Okay. Let me get there. Let's not jump ahead, MJ, like you always tell me. Okay.
Am I getting ahead of my skis over here?
Get to that part. Okay, but this is what's crazy about this.
Yeah.
They want to stamp out, invasively stamp out creative thinking, freedom of thought, and it's lunacy. But to get to what you want to talk about.
Hold on. What do I want to talk about?
The Cindy and Greg at the coffee stand, whatever you say.
Brother and sister, the Brady's?
What? Cindy
You're talking
Greg?
About Brady Bunch incest? What is wrong with you?
Really.
What is wrong with
Where's
you?
Michael?
They're not real brother and sister, so.
But that's still gross. If they're stepsister and brother, Greg Brady and Cindy Brady getting it on. Plus, Cindy's like 12.
It is a genre, and she's like 60 now.
Roxanne, Allison. What is wrong with you?
Where's Allison, the meat man, Sam? Where are they doing it? On the counter in the kitchen?
She's given. Alice, the sausage in the meat locker.
Oh,
okay.
Alice.
Remember that episode? They got stuck in the meat locker. Remember that?
It's a good one.
All right, so where were you?
So they did, in the presentation, they showed a video that imagined a workplace of the future in which an employee worries about her employer detecting her amorous feelings for a coworker by reading her brainwave data.
Yeah.
Okay, so what if, I started just thinking about this, what if they employed that here? First of all, it would never work because we actually, it's our goal to get off track. It's our goal to like not think about what we're focused on. What? And
yeah, that's my goal is to have a scattered, disastrous morning show where it's like we're rambling and babbling all morning long. That's my goal.
It's actually irreverent by design.
Yeah, I'm trying to repel listeners. Yeah.
Okay. But what if my
it's actually very well choreographed.
What about my personality tick was to picture people naked to help me get through things, okay? You know how they say picture someone naked when you're giving a speech? Yeah. You ever hear that advice?
I think that was an actual Brady Bunch storyline. I think that was. I think Greg was all nervous or Peter was all nervous.
No, Greg, just picture me, your father, Michael, naked.
And I think it was Mike Brady, the father,
Mike,
who was telling his son to picture the audience naked. Wasn't that a Brady Bunch? I think it was. I think it was season 4.
That's so weird.
I think it's season 4, episode 12.
Oh, my gosh.
I think Mike was more interested in a different kind of naked.
Yeah, didn't Mr. Brady picture all the boys naked? Yeah.
So what if I'm sitting here and I'm like trying to make myself feel comfortable, and in doing so, I'm picturing you naked, MJ? Like, then what?
Are you picturing me? Are you picturing me naked?
Here's the story.
I'm a naked MJ, and Roxanne can't take her eyes off of him. She is dreaming of how amazing. All right.
Now, Greg, what I do is I picture all kinds of naked men. I mean, people. I'm your father, Mike.
Wait, you see your mother here? I never picture her naked, but...
I'm cutting to the chase here.
Yes.
Are there companies that are employing this brain wave reading technology with little ear devices right now?
Not that I know of, but they were certainly shoving it down people's throats at that convention, and they want to roll it out, you know, wherever they can, wherever people are.
Are they jamming it in your ears, or are they shoving it down your throat?
Exactly. Where are the monitors going?
The monitors, the earbuds are going to pick up your brainwave data.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, no one's jamming in the ear. I'm not working at a place where they're going to pick up my brainwave data.
No, thank you.
And not at all. This is what was the Schwarzenegger movie where he walks in the scanner? What was that?
Total Recall?
Total Recall, or what's the movie where the heads explode? Scanners.
Sir... Your wavelengths show you think of boobs.
all
23 hours out of the day.
You're supposed to be working on Excel spreadsheets, but your monitoring show that you're thinking of boobs all day.
Just
long.
Beavis and Butthead all day. Boobs.
All right, Roxanne, I don't think we have to worry about.
Yeah, that sounds a little outlandish.
Yeah, I don't think we need to worry about. I got to call Shorty Shane because I mentioned this earlier. Man, this has turned freaky. Now, Festy, you took the doll into the office?
Yeah, yesterday was the biannual, not biannual, every other year cleaning of the Morning Show office.
Okay.
And
biannual would be twice a year. Yeah.
So in the 2 years we've been here, we've never cleaned the office. I cleaned it up yesterday, and I put the doll in there.
Nice. Displayed her?
Yeah, she's featured prominently.
Folks, if you don't know the deal, Rachel the Flying Tomato from our digital department left. And while she was packing up to go to Beasley Media, our sister station cluster up in Philadelphia, she found this really creepy, 3-foot doll called Playtime Patty or something. And she left it with us because I was like, man, we're going to turn this doll into Shorty Shane's girlfriend. Shorty Shane's 3'5". The doll's about 3 feet tall. And it'd be great. He can shoot videos. He's taking the doll out on dates, having an argument with the doll down on, you know, Beach Drive in St. Pete, you know, in front of a restaurant or something.
I told her to take it to dinner and then complain that the doll's steak was the doll's mad because her steak was undercooked.
Well, all kinds of good ideas.
There's all kinds of great stuff.
I mean, anything's a good idea.
All kinds of great stuff until something came to light. All right, let me get Shorty Shane online. He apparently got, I didn't even think of this. This is how twisted the world is. The world is so twisted. Shorty Shane's getting all these social media messages about.
What, does he have a phobia?
Hang on a minute. Calling him up. 727 637. All right, calling him up.
When he came in here last week, I noticed that he wouldn't even like get near it.
No, he's not afraid of the doll.
I saw some pictures on social media of him hugging the doll.
Okay.
Trying to get behind her.
Listen, I saw him acting all scared.
Folks, if you want to see Shorty Shane with the doll.
Hello.
Hey, Shorty Shane, hold on one sec. If you want to see Shorty Shane next to the creepy doll, I took a picture in the hallway, and in fact, it had the shining red rum.
Yeah, I saw that.
Behind it.
Yeah,
because one of the workers, someone had, Pat put it up. Someone has like that, like the red rum shining door vinyl or something. So, if you want to see Shorty Shane with the doll, I did post it on my Instagram. If you go to Certified MJ Radio, Certified MJ Radio, and just look like five or six things down, and you'll see Shorty Shane next to the doll. And the doll's bald, Jerry. Bald because all the hair fell out because it's like toxic and it disintegrated our hands. So we're talking about this great concept. Shorty Shane's with the doll. He goes out. We shoot videos with it. And Shorty Shane, out of nowhere, you start getting concern from people and you're getting hit up on social media. I mean, I didn't even think of this. Is this really something we need to worry about? Shorty Shane, people were trying to warn you, don't do anything with the doll because of what reason?
Just because of the sole reason that it portrays a child, you know, a child.
So, so people were saying, oh, no, Shorty Shane, you don't want to be out there with the doll because the doll's like a little girl. And I didn't even think
but
of
it's
like
a doll.
It is, but people are trying to introduce the whole pedo aspect, and I'm like, oh my god, I didn't even think of this.
So we need a
life size dwarf doll.
we need a 40-year-old dwarf girl doll.
My perspective is, you know, we find it funny, and it is funny, and you know, well, that's us. But like strangers and people that follow me. That live like vicariously through what I do or what you do, et cetera, they find it creepy because it's a kid. They find the idea funny. They find it funny if we were to do it with like an adult looking doll and make her short, or we have a huge blow up doll and do the same concepts.
All right, drew a mustache on her.
All right, hold on. Let me look up 4 foot blow up dolls.
No, we don't want a blow. You don't want a blow up doll.
It needs to be a living doll.
We need a tall one. Say it again.
We can make her short, like something that looks mature, and then we can make her short.
Yeah. So, Fester, see if they sell a 3 foot adult looking doll.
Just cut her off at the knees.
Not like a doll that looks like she's a 9. Okay, I mean,
would this really be an issue?
People are hitting him up. That hey, Shorty Shane, don't do the deal with the doll. You're gonna look like a pedophile. I mean, we didn't even think. That's how sick the world is. We didn't even think of this.
Well, sometimes we need more voices in the conversation to bring up points we didn't think of. That's okay.
I just started Googling like sex robots. And there's a very big thing, like they're really, you know, they mandate that they have to look a certain age because you don't want to encourage.
Fester, go back to where you were. Oh, my God.
All right.
Fester is on Amazon right now. Look at the mannequin doll on the far right. That's the mannequin that Jeffrey Dahmer stole from the clothing store that he was sleeping with in the Netflix series Dahmer.
Oh, my God, it is.
It is. It's a silver mannequin doll.
It's beautiful.
It looks like the Jeffrey Dahmer thing.
Took him forever to pack that thing up.
Oh, my God.
Didn't he? But listen, the Dow's not out of the picture. I think the Dow can still be used, but we can use it as, you know, the bride of Chucky.
Yes. Or maybe you could say it's your
we
kid.
We make her look like the bride of Chucky, and I go out as Chucky and just stand like in still corners around people.
Okay.
With her next to me. That would freak people out.
What would Chucky's sister be named? Like Charlotte or something?
Bride of Chucky.
Well, it can't be a bride. It's a 6-year old.
I think we're getting too deep in the weeds.
We're already in the weeds.
Like Charlene.
Charlene.
Yeah. Chucky and Charlene. Or wait a minute. Oh, I've got it. Oh, we take off the real doll hands and we put on little bitty doll hands and we add a really big forehead.
Oh, God.
Show.
God, how did she do that?
It's Dunice.
It's still a work in progress, is what everybody's saying.
Anyway, we had a curveball thrown to us on the whole doll concept. All right, Shorty, man. Good to talk to you. Anything? Oh, hey, and are you available for that Leprechaun gig on St. Patty's Day?
Yeah, I actually have that already and penciled in. So.
All right, yeah, Mark Zalas, the salesperson to the stars, is going to get a hold of you very shortly.
All right, cool. That works. Thank you, man.
All right, thank you, man.
All right, I'll see you.
All right, bye.
Why doesn't Shorty Chain just act like it's his daughter? And then, like,
because that's not the point.
I think it's stupid, all of it. Forget it.
Listen, everything is something. Everything's a problem out there.
It's just ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
Throw the thing in the trash.
Right, a couple of things here. We got a couple of, like, skull and jaw stories. You ready for... Someone shows up at the Detroit Metropolitan Airport with a dolphin skull in their carry-on luggage. It was seen by the TSA agents.
Can you not travel with a dolphin skull?
With a bottlenose and everything?
Oh, my God. What customs official found this fishy item inside an unclaimed suitcase at the Detroit Metropolitan Airport, a skull of a young dolphin.
Is that contraband? Can you not bring skulls?
I think it's a very good question. U.S. Customs and actually, it's not TSA. It was U.S. Customs and Border Protection uncovered the skull while doing routine X-ray baggage screening.
Is his nose part of it?
Yeah. You know, because what happens, you got the TSA that screens, but then also if you got an international flight, then the U.S. Customs, they will also scan. Is it prohibited?
So while you can travel domestically with dolphin skulls, I bet you can't bring dolphin skulls into the country.
Listen to this. Following an examination by Customs and Border Protection and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service officials, the mysterious object was determined to be the skull of a dolphin. Hey, Sardo's leaving already?
It just came. Just a hot drop.
Sardo, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Well, we said thank you. All right.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, hold on a sec. Grab a mic.
Here we go.
Now, are you Sardo's son? Are you Santo's son?
No, I'm a delivery driver.
Oh, well, what's your name?
Brian.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, he says that we're blowing the place up, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, thanks for dropping off the Sardo's pizza.
MJ.
Yeah. Psst. What?
Yeah, tip.
Oh, I got a tip?
I don't
need cash. I got a couple of doggy duty bags in my pocket. Yeah, I don't carry cash. I got nothing.
Yeah, you owe me 20 bucks. You owe me 20 bucks.
What?
I said it's my birthday. I just wanted to meet you.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, hey.
I'm happy to do one of these for you if you want a birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So hold on. Give him the microphone for a second.
Right.
It's your birthday today?
Yes, sir.
All right. Talk into the microphone.
Talk right into it.
What's your name?
Brian Shirtless.
Brian, nice to meet you. How old are you today?
44.
Happy birthday to you, man. Happy birthday.
Are you friends with someone? Are you friends with someone named Bree?
What?
She's my wife. She's right outside.
This is for Bree. She said, shout out to Brian. Happy birthday.
Well, look at that. Bree's texting us?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's on your boobs again?
Are you wearing it on your... You're wearing it on your boobs again on MJTV.
You've gone insane.
Anyway, hey, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for bringing the pizza by.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
All right, have a great one.
Thanks, man.
Enjoy. All right.
The possession of wildlife items, especially those of protected animals, is prohibited. We take wildlife smuggling seriously. So
it's not wildlife smuggling. It's wildlife bone smuggling.
All right. So that's weird, like skull and bone story number one. Then number two, A guy drops by a California police station, just drops off a human jawbone.
Did he find it?
Hello, where'd this come from?
Are you sure it was human?
Did it come out of an apartment in Milwaukee from a blue barrel in the bedroom?
I mean, the guy, did he find it? Did he stumble upon it?
An unidentified man in California walked into a police station, dropped off a human jawbone along with suspected animal remains. The stranger approached the public counter at the San Bernardino Police Department carrying what appeared to be deceased animal remains and the lower jaw that resembled a human, according to the press release from the police department. Then the guy just walked out before the police could ask him any questions.
Interesting.
That's a little strange, huh?
Yeah.
I'm looking at pictures of dolphin skulls. I kind of want one.
Pretty cool looking.
Yeah, they really are.
They are. Long They're like elongated. Cool. Yeah, they are pretty cool.
I prefer live dolphins.
Yeah, they're kind of annoying.
For my dolphins and my tuna.
The Clearwater, what?
Never has a bad dolphin tuna joke.
Was that a dolphin safe tuna joke? Is that
really?
It?
I'll eat a dolphin. I don't care.
Look at this. The Clearwater home, which was once owned by Kirstie Alley, as well as
Lisa Marie Presley.
Yes. On the market.
That's cool. I've been there. Let me tell you, it's a nice place.
The house where Kirstie Alley and Lisa Marie Presley lived, and I got to be honest, that place might have an issue because they're both dead. Think about it. They're both gone. Yeah. I don't know. Do you really want to move into, they say it comes in threes. I'm just saying.
And eventually everybody lives in somebody's house.
Right? Yeah, hey. And they were both Scientologists, right? So, Tom Cruise, do not move into that place. Yeah, $6 million. And, of course, that was where Fester and Froggy won. That's where you guys approached by boat to welcome Lisa Marie Presley back in the 90s. We dropped off, a fruit basket, some flowers.
Right, and we were not well received.
We were welcomed by, Scientology security guards and the Clearwater police when you guys tried to approach by water just to drop off some nice gifts to welcome Lisa Marie Presley to the neighborhood.
So it's being sold by Kirstie Alley's estate.
Yeah. Yep, Lisa Marie Presley used to live there, so did Kirstie Alley. $5.9 million. It's located at 1100 North Osceola Avenue, Clearwater. Built in 93. According to the listing on Station Square Realty, the property sits on a little less than an acre of land.
Is that a good price? An acre of land on the intercoastal? Right there on the water. It's a beautiful house.
I would have to look at some nearby comps to see if $5.9 million is a little high.
Jeez.
Yeah. Let's see. It's five bedrooms, five full baths, and a half bath. I think you got a dock. And you can also keep in mind that Froggy and Fester once put the gift baskets on that dock.
You, if anybody
got kicked in the wall.
If any of the listeners that house, I will come and autograph your dock.
The Scientology security guards didn't kick the basket.
That's littering.
They brought flowers and a fruit basket, and they kicked the stuff off their dock into the water.
That rap ended up in a dolphin's blowhole.
There you go. Oh, it's just terrible. 9:21 at the MJ Morning Show. The final chunk of the MJ Morning Show here on a Tuesday is next. I've got a landlord question for you. Oh, also, FedEx reached out to me. FedEx contacted me asking me for permission. Why the heck is FedEx reaching out to me, MJ? I'll explain it all. We got the final chunk. Oh, and do you know about the controversial smile policy at a convenience store? You got to hear this, the controversial smile policy that employees are supposed to subscribe to. And there's a reason why. Hang on, I'll explain it all next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105, 932, and the final segment of the MJ Morning Show here on a Tuesday. Quickly, have you noticed that gas prices are starting to move down again? I paid, what, $3.21 a gallon for regular unleaded over at the Walmart gas station at 275 in Dale Mabry. And that's like the cheapest place that I tend to get gas other than the membership clubs.
Yeah.
So those are cheaper, but you know, I don't have one right near my house. But when I'm at like a Costco, which I'm a member of, and Sam's Club, they've got Sam's gas.
Yeah, they have Sam's gas.
And then what about BJ's? The newer BJ's, do they have gas as well? I think they do, right?
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. So outside of the membership clubs, I like that Walmart, but now gas is coming back down. So that's a good thing. Because look, I saw gas up to like $3.69 a gallon in the last couple of weeks. It's like, what the heck is going on? Hey, speaking of gas stations, the smile policy. Now, not everyone is going to know about Sheetz.
Oh, I love Sheetz. I went to Sheetz in Pennsylvania.
Exactly. They're big. I think they're based out of Altoona. I've been to Sheetz in Pennsylvania. There's a Sheetz, which is also right outside of the Raleigh-Durham Airport. So if you're returning a rental car to the RDU, Raleigh-Durham Airport, there's a Sheetz right as you get into the airport entrance, and that's where you fill up for the rental car return. And so that's where I first became aware of Sheetz. You know, Sheetz kind of like a Wawa. You know, yeah. Wawa also, I think, was out of Pennsylvania.
What a weird name, Sheetz.
Sheetz, S-H-E-E-T-Z. Well, let me tell you about the Sheetz smile policy. Listen, tell me if this is a little too harsh. If you had bad teeth, you were not hired.
Oh. Dang.
You know, so a lot of people, there are people who just judge people by their teeth.
Why aren't you going to hire me again? Right.
Here's the deal. The Altoona, Pennsylvania-based Sheetz said that they have discontinued the controversial smile policy that said that people with visible dental issues would not be hired. You got some chopper issues? Up, no hire for you.
Can you blame them? That's not a terrible policy.
In late January, Business Insider reported that the employee handbook says applicants with obvious missing, broken, or badly discolored teeth unrelated to a disability are not qualified for employment at Sheetz.
Okay.
Your mouth can't look like Sheetz.
Like Sheetz.
Like holy Sheetz.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of rude, yeah, man.
Sheetz said the policy is now discontinued effective immediately.
So all the bad dental hygiene cases in central Pennsylvania can apply for employment.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be five Sheetz teeth within, you know, five different stores.
Call up Helitomar immediately.
Our culture at Sheetz has always been centered on respect and putting our employees, customers, and communities first. As a family-owned and operated business, nothing is more important than creating an environment that is inclusive and supportive of all of our employees. Recently, through employee feedback, we have learned that the smile policy is not aligned with these values from their perspective. We agree, effective immediately, the policy is discontinued.
How could your policy not be good dental hygiene?
They had a policy, if you had missing teeth or you had a bad set of dental work, they wouldn't hire you.
What if you had butt breath and just like really bad breath?
So great looking teeth.
The horrible breath.
Great looking teeth, but just breath that'll peel the paint off your car.
Milk Which and would cigarette. You rather have?
Milk and cigarettes. Wow, that's a, you know, thinking about the cashiers I see, I never really see terrible teeth on people working up front.
Yeah.
Put them in the back.
Yeah, he's in the back.
You know, I got to be honest. I don't know how often I'm staring at the teeth of like, the clown.
Oh, I'm a teeth starer because I'm a mouth starer.
I mean, lately they've been in masks, so, you know, I really haven't been paying much attention to.
Hold on, Roxanne, you're a mouth starer?
Yeah, it's a bad habit. I have to. I mean, now I stare. I've told you this. I have to force myself to stare at someone's left eye because I read something stupid one time that when you stare at someone's left eye, you're really going to communicate better with the other side of their brain. Like, that's if you really want to make an impression on someone, you stare at their left eye.
What about Left Eye Lopez?
Yeah, she drove off the left side of the road.
Yeah. Left side of the mountain in Nicaragua or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Left Eye Lopez. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was with what? TLC?
Yeah. And she knows how to burn down a football player's house.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
She burned down that Atlanta Falcons guy's house, like a $5 million house.
She was awesome.
Left Eye Lopez, may she rest in peace.
Yes, always.
And Roxanne's not going to be able to stare at her left eye anymore.
No.
Hold on. Which eye was good?
You stare at
her? She had a good eye. She always had a condom over her left eye.
She
wore a condom.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I don't recall.
That's a conversation piece.
I was a big TLC fan.
Hey, guys. Have you ever heard of Yik Yak?
Yeah. It's like a social, social site.
So you know about it?
No, I never heard of it.
I was made aware of Yik Yak for the first time last night. And it's a story out of Connecticut. A student was banned from the University of Hartford campus following concerning posts that he made to social media. The student, identified as Tenun Ekbat, 18 of Virginia, posted, you know, some general nastiness on Yik Yak.
It's like Yik Yak is only like a 3 or 4 mile geographic area from where you're posting.
Really?
It's like a community social network. Right. Yeah.
I just like the name Yik Yak. It's like something I'd make up. You know, hey, I just put a post up on Yik Yak.
Come down to it. Just coming up with dumber and dumber names for things.
Yeah. I mean,
Yikity Yak.
Tic Tac, Yik Yak. You know, the whole Snapchat, all that stuff. Yeah, I mentioned earlier about Madonna's look, and man, I still have people sending me, you know, messages about, yeah, they saw Madonna during the Grammys, and I saw the Grammys actually had an uptick in audience. You know, those award shows, the ratings have been dropping insanely over the years. The award show's viewership has gone into the basement, and then I saw that the viewership was actually up.
Really? I wonder why.
Yeah, it was.
You know, maybe with the Taylor Swift concert stuff.
No. I'm thinking that when Madonna went up there to deliver her little speech, that people were like, oh my God, look at Madonna, and people called up and said, hey, you got to turn on the TV right now. Madonna looks like some kind of an alien. You got to see what she's done to her face. So then people went to the show and they maybe watched a little longer. I think that's why the ratings are up. It's all due to Madonna's face.
Maybe they thought it was an actual alien invasion happening live on TV.
12.4 million people actually tuned in, making it the most watched Grammy Awards since 2020.
Who hosted it again?
It was hosted by
Trevor Noah. Was it Trevor Noah?
Was it?
I don't think
host Trevor Noah.
That guy doesn't entertain me.
Well, he used to be the Daily Show host, but then he just, like, quit.
But he was never entertaining on that show. I don't understand the guy's appeal.
Like, the Daily Show, I've never been a Daily Show watcher, but he just, like, upped and quit. And then
why did he do that?
All of a sudden, he started wearing hoodies now, like, on the show.
We watch a lot of South Park on Comedy Central, all right? Because that's just brilliant writing.
That's all there is.
And oh man, we saw the food tampering episode with the Yelp reviews.
I haven't seen a South Park episode in years.
And the song at the end, oh my God. I had not seen that episode. But with Comedy Central, when Trevor Noah left at the end of last year, I think they replaced him with like rotating hosts. They have like
they did.
Is it a different host every day? Or is it a different host every week?
Yeah. Is there gonna rotate like I think weekly?
Maybe it's weekly, but Grammy viewership was up. In case you, give a flying crap.
Nope.
I have a landlord story in our final minutes of the show here on Q105, and then the FedEx issue. You ever hear of a landlord charging for a pet fish?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I know that some apartment complexes or landlords, they'll make you put down like a pet deposit.
Like a dog fee.
In case like the carpet is stained or ruined. A lot of times there can be a pet deposit
fee. You should always do that.
But are you kidding me? A woman in Missouri said that a landlord was charging her a pet fee for a little goldfish in a bowl. What the hell?
Well,
so just a bowl? Yeah, like what's the worst that could happen? The water could spill?
And go through and ruin the floor and then ruin the person below your ceiling and then ruin their floor and then the whole place collapses. That's what.
There might be a quart of water in this bowl. I mean, this
actually a good point for you.
Whole place done.
Folds right in.
I never heard of this. So the landlord wanted a one-time $200 fee and a $15 monthly surcharge for having a pet, a goldfish in a bowl.
That seems a bit much.
I think it'll be in my toilet once I get that bill.
That is ridiculous. Well, first of all, why would you even tell the landlord you got a goldfish?
Well, the landlord goes in the house. I mean, I've rented places. You know, the landlord.
Oh my God! Hold on! We got a goldfish. We got a goldfish.
That thing looks aggressive.
Wait, maybe we're onto something here. Maybe the prospective tenant was like, "Oh, by the way, I have a goldfish. Is my goldfish going to be happy in this unit? Is my goldfish, you know, like really acting crazy?" And maybe that person, the landlord,
Roxanne,
used that.
I'm concerned about you. You're really acting crazy here.
No, but you see what I mean?
I don't understand.
The landlord is like, wait a second. No, I'm going to charge you a deposit for that fish, you weirdo.
I took in the final moments here on the MJ Morning Show before we wrap things up. I took an image over Tampa Bay the other night. And I thought it was a beautiful image. I posted it on my Instagram. The caption is "A beautiful sky over Tampa Bay tonight with FedEx 731 Heavy. An Airbus A300 F4-605R, tail number November 673, Frank Echo.
Plane nerd alert.
And it was on short final to runway 1L at Tampa International Airport. Turns out it's a FedEx plane. And the sunset and the clouds were beautiful. And I took a picture of the FedEx plane landing, and I posted it, and I tagged, at FedEx, and I get a message from FedEx. FedEx responded, and if you want to see the image, go to my Instagram and look for the beautiful sky with the airplane. It's, like maybe 6 or 7 down. If you go to Certified MJ Radio, you can see it. Certified MJ Radio. Andrew, can you get it posted also on stories mentioned on MJMorningShow.com? So FedEx writes me this. FedEx loves your photo. We would like to use all or part of your photo and potentially your Instagram handle on FedEx social media channels, on the FedEx website, and or in other marketing materials. Please reply hashtag yes to FedEx to authorize and consent the use as described. And there's just a whole bunch of little things here. You're over 18, and it's your photo. They're not going to
say no.
No, I said yes.
I think it's a phishing scam.
I took a picture with my cell phone of a plane landing over Tampa Bay. It's a very nice photo. I said yes to FedEx. I got no problem. I was flattered that FedEx liked my photo. And they took the time to, send me a little note. So if you want to see the image that FedEx loved, go to my Instagram, Certified MJ Radio, and take a look. And if you want to give me a follow, give me a follow. As I'm about 100,000 away from 100,000.
We're getting there.
Slowly climbing. All right, we're done. Anything else, guys, before we go?
That's it.
Have a phenomenal day. Website always loaded, MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. And let's be careful out there. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.